is off limits. While at the same time, I urge you guys to be cool.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West. Adam West, Adam West.
But on the list of important things that you've done, you peaked in 1960, what was that, over 8? 1969?
When was... Kevin, I don't like your choice of words.
You know, man, the sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life. I can't stand it anymore. You're just a miserable dick now.
You're an idiot asshole.
Garman.
And now.
You know, if you mess with the bull, go for the gold.
Our feature presentation.
That's what I've always said, by the way.
It's pretty good advice. Can't really argue with Tommy Lee on that one.
Been saying that my whole life. So I come in this morning, and the headphones that I use, Psycho Mike has wrapped up in about a gigantic baseball-sized knot. With my computer cord. And I think he's actually just playing a joke on me. I think he's actually just, he's got a camera someplace, and he's just watching me try to untangle it quickly before we go on the air.
Kevin really needs a streamlined route to the microphone to get on the air. I mean, he's not leaving a lot of extra time for surprises, Mike. You got to sort that out for him.
Yes, sir.
You should know that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Not only that, but I also got slowed up by a long time because the trash truck was pulling into the driveway. So every second counts.
That had to put 20 to 30 seconds on your commute.
Yeah, probably 15 to 20, yeah. But that that would have given me more time to untangle the headphone cord.
It's always amazing. Mike, I'm sure you've noticed this too. That by the way, we are going to take your phone calls like we do every morning at this time. It's the Thursday edition of Kevin and Bean's What Did Your Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize. It's always amazing when you get emails from Kevin, and it's like, 5 after 5, he's email, and you're thinking, how is he doing that? Is he doing that while he's driving on his way to work?
No, still at home.
The show starts in 25 minutes, and he lives in the freaking valley. How is it possible?
And yet, he cruises in.
It's a 23-minute drive. Maybe 23:20, depending on if there's a trash truck in front of me or not. So, you know, you just got to judge.
Before we get to your calls, I don't know if you saw this on the news last night. Actually, I think I saw it on Access Hollywood. Star Jones and Rosie O'Donnell together.
What?
Okay? Yes. They are auctioning off for some figure skating in Harlem charity, if you can believe that. Like, that sounds important.
Figure skating in Harlem?
Yes. I think that's what the charity was, if I remember correctly. They are, they notoriously feuded because Rosie wanted Star Jones to come clean, remember, back in the day on how she lost all the weight, and Star got really pissed off about
that. I did not realize that was a big feud, but yes, I can see.
Remember Star lost like 160 pounds and claimed that she just did it by diet and exercise?
Sure, yeah.
And Rosie's like, look, I'm fat. I know it doesn't work, okay? And eventually Star admitted it was gastric bypass, right? Well, they have mended their feud, and they are auctioning off lunch with them to raise money for this figure skating charity. Can you imagine? Could you even eat?
Wow.
Would you even have an appetite if you're sitting at a table with Rosie O'Donnell and Star Jones at the same time?
I would almost have to do that because,
I mean,
what a horrible lunch that would be. They're both terrible people.
But what's the point of showing up if you have to be unarmed, though? I mean, if you could take a gun with one well-placed bullet, you'd be making the world a happier place, wouldn't you? Although I don't know that there's any bullet that could get through one of them, much less two of them.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, that's a bad idea.
Isn't that crazy?
I wonder if anyone's going to bid on that.
I don't know. There may be some crazy View fans who liked them both for whatever reason, but I couldn't think of anything worse. I mean, if you sat down and wrote up a list of the people you'd least want to meet in your life, they would be near the top of the list. And here you get them together at one time for a bunch of money.
Wow, that seems
bad. Like a lose-lose.
That seems bad in every way.
Anyway, if you are interested, you can go to charitybuzz.com is where the auction is being held.
Or don't go
or
there.
Or not.
Yeah.
Or don't go there at all. Way. Right.
All right. Your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You get on the air, you get a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do is the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach is just around the corner. You're going to get tickets for Saturday, the 18th of April. It's the 35th annual Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach, believe it or not. You can get details at gplb.com. And that, of course, is the day that Puddle of Mud is playing. So you get all that for calling us at 1-800-520-1067. That's not the right button.
Nope.
There you go. Better. Much better.
All right. Let's begin with Justin in Anaheim. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, good morning, guys. What it do?
What it do?
Hey, what is the deal with American Idol?
It's bad, and a lot of people watch it, and then everyone talks about it, and then those of us that hate it are miserable.
No.
I hope that answers your question.
Is we have been without Fringe for about 5 weeks now.
Yeah.
And we had the very first episode, and I missed the last 10 minutes of it because of American Idol running long.
You missed the last 10 minutes of Fringe?
Of Fringe, yes.
Oh, I see.
You had it set up to record, and then the tape ran out, basically. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Because it started late, yeah.
Usually nothing good happens in the last 10 minutes of Fringe, so don't worry about it.
Oh, no.
That's not when they tie everything together or anything like that.
It's just like every other live event, is it has the possibility that it's going to get out of control because it does not benefit from editing, unfortunately. So it's just, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how often that, I mean, you know, CBS with all the basketball and all the football and everything else, how many times, you know, 60 Minutes starts late because the sporting event isn't over. Same deal with AI.
Yeah, you can set your TiVo so that it records, automatically records an extra, you know, 30 minutes or whatever for shows like that to go long because it's too frustrating when you watch sports. And the same thing happens. It goes into overtime, and you miss it. So, you know, I always add it for sports. But American Idol, don't you think they encourage them to go long? I mean, they get such great ratings.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the 10 minutes they went over were going to be higher rated than if Fringe had started on time. That is a good point, Kevin.
So I wouldn't
probably let them do whatever they want.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine they just go, well, do what you can. Let's just see how it works out.
Oh, yeah, it's just one more reason to hate Ryan Seacrest.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
Good call. That's a good way to tie it all together. All right, let's go to Rachel in Burbank. Good morning, Rachel.
Hey, you guys. Hey, with me. She's on break, sorry.
She's on vacation.
So, anyways, I was at the Observe and Report world premiere on Monday.
How was it?
The movie was okay, I guess. I don't know. But the hilarity happened before the movie, about like an hour and a half before it started. Apparently, colony of bees took residence on one of the lights that was out there for the premiere.
Really?
Yeah, and they had to evacuate all the reporters and stuff for about an hour before it started so they could fumigate the bees.
Awesome. Attack of the Killer Bees.
Yeah, it was like that Simpsons episode that happened on Sunday.
Wow. That's fantastic.
That is interesting. You don't see that very often.
And bees win, usually.
Why is it you don't know how Observe and Report was? Didn't you see the movie?
Yeah, I didn't. The humor and such just wasn't my vein.
Yeah. But, it's a little dark.
But, you know, like, it wasn't bad. I wasn't going to go and, you know, I'd pay matinee for it, basically.
I haven't looked forward to a movie this much since, you know, Fast and Furious way back then. So
all the way back to last Friday.
So I really can't wait for this movie. That sounds good. All right, let's go to Jonathan in Orange. Good morning, Jonathan.
Hey, what's up, guys? What'd it do?
What'd it do?
Dude, awesome. First time calling.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, check this out. So I do a newspaper route, right? And I just got off work right now. And there's this apartment complex that I do. And it's the first time it's ever happened to me, actually. I was going by this one of the houses I do.
Right.
In the window, there's like this couple totally going at it. Like, usually, like, I just usually see, like, TV in the background. And the window is open. And they're just totally going at it. So I go, like, jump off the newspaper, and they're just, like, looking at me. And I'm like, oh, shoot, you know?
Right,
so
and then...
They just nod at me. Like, smile.
Really, because they didn't freak or anything. They were fine with you seeing them?
No, it was... you know what? Because I go every morning, and I don't know if they, like they knew I was coming or planned it or something, but it was fucking weird.
So you and the guy, you and the homeowner, were both making a delivery then?
That...
See what he did?
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I imagine anytime you got a job where you go to people's houses every day, eventually you're gonna run into this, and you probably have been waiting for the day, and now you can quit the paper route because now it's happened to you.
Was she hot?
She was like one of those like mid-40s. I wasn't like that crazy, but I mean, it was just weird. You know?
Just strange to see people having sex.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
It wasn't even weird out or anything. It was just like it was cool.
You know,
in a way.
Being you're right though, Jonathan is going to spend every second of every day now looking in windows to try and
he sure is. Recreate it's going to ruin him. It's now going to take him 11 hours to deliver his papers. Great that you thought to call us, Jonathan, when you saw that. We appreciate it. He said it was his first time,
yep,
right?
He did.
So this is what I'm always curious, what it takes somebody who's listened to the show for a long time to finally pick up the phone and call, and it was seeing sex. That's what did it for him. Hey, let's go squeeze in Tasha in Long Beach. She's on line 6, and she has a story about the man keeping her down.
Hey, Tasha.
What it do, Devin and Dean?
What it do?
I'm a teacher, and I've been teaching about contraceptives to my students.
Mm-hmm.
I teach college, and we had started talking about students. We had started talking about people having sex with inanimate objects.
Right.
And we tried to access your website to see the little video you guys have, and our school computers wouldn't allow it.
Really? They wouldn't? Your school computers blocked KROQ.com? And you were trying to look at I Married the Eiffel Tower?
Yes.
Oh. How common is that? I mean, do you run into that all the time where you can't get to sites because they've been blocked by administration?
Yes. Yeah, we can't get YouTube, but we can get Facebook and MySpace.
How about that?
Wow.
I know.
We get pissed at K-Rock that they block all the porn. I mean, that to us seems right. Unfair, but you can't even get to KROQ.com. You got it even worse than we do. Wow.
Right. Can't get porn either.
How come I didn't? Oh, by the way, we have a website that you could get to. That you can get around all of those settings.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's called VTunnel. Look that
we'll
up. We found it during the Final Four because a lot of businesses were clamping down on the Final Four, mm-hmm. Watching it online, and then you can get around it that way. But how come I didn't ever have a teacher in college that would show me I Married the Eiffel Tower videos?
I know.
I don't know.
Got it going on.
That's the best. Well, here's a little clip for you at least.
My show has many lovers. Her most famous ones these days are the Berlin Wall and the Eiffel Tower.
Yes. Mm. She changed her name to Mrs. Wall.
Right. I told them about that, too.
Fantastic. All right, Tasha, keep doing the good work in the schools there, and thanks a lot for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it.
That's awesome. Wow, they're banning, nice. Banning K-Rock.
Yeah, I know. That really surprises me, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, KROQ.com is a clean site. I mean, say what you will about... some of the stuff that's up there, but it is safe for work.
Her love for objects is behind her considerable athletic success. She's a world-class archer, thanks to her long-term relationship with a bow.
It sounds like it has to be a Christopher Guest movie, doesn't it?
It sounds so fake, but it isn't.
When you say you date these guys, does it mean you do have sex with them?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, no, no. But the bow.
Lance knows he's good looking.
Hey, Bean, the bow's name is Lance.
And initially, I was attracted to him because of his looks.
Right.
We've had a pretty hot and heavy relationship for quite some time.
Sure. That's the best.
She's going to end up in Dr. Moe's emergency room. They're going to have to extract an arrow from her.
Well, probably because she dumped the bow, and it has not been going well ever since. The bow
gotcha.
Did not want to be dumped.
Sure.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 9th of Aprilingus. Funny man Joe Rogan in the studio.
Come on.
Can't wait. He was so good last Friday night at the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness.
I hate to suggest that anyone stole the show because every comedian brought it.
Yeah.
But I did hear some people say that they thought Rogan was their favorite of the night.
I think he was my favorite. But
he was great.
But
he
you're
was
right. Great. Everybody else was so great, it's not by much.
Right, right.
So we're going to talk to him today. We're going to talk to him about UFC. He's got a date at the Brea Improv, and we got to get a recap of Drunk Omar backstage. So, that's coming
now, up. I know that Psycho Mike is very deeply in love with Joe. He's one of his top man crushes. Was it so exciting for you, Mike, to actually be able to hang out with him last Friday night, like not in a work studio situation?
Yeah, I mean, it was a real charge, but it was surely disappointing not to go home with him after the
that's
show.
That's true. That must have broken your heart, yeah.
Yeah, true. Just a tease is all it was.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Beaver Phillips today as we begin a book Thursday. Beaver has written a book called Copy, Paste, and Bang. And he's going to tell you how that you can have sex with the girls that you see on the internet.
These gentlemen are here to talk about Beaver.
That's correct.
Now, it sounds like, based on the name of the book, that he has something that we can, copy, paste, and then whatever he's written, his magic will work for us with the ladies.
Right. You don't have to use your own words. You can email these things back, and he teaches you how to do it.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that. We will talk to you if you could predict earthquakes in the 7 o'clock hour. So many people seem to have whatever it is they believe, but they believe it. They think they've got a system, whether it's the weather that they can kind of see coming or you know, a feeling in their bones. Who knows what the hell people have? But a lot of people do think they can do that, that they can predict an earthquake.
A lot of people really believe in earthquake weather, too. They think that they can see the signs in the atmosphere that will lead to an earthquake. But they have done so many studies for that. I mean, of course, science has spent a lot of time trying to predict earthquakes. There's a great need to. But they have never come up with anything that they suggest is going to be more likely to create an earthquake than not. Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, so far it's just, I guess it's just what people want to believe. But if you've got something, we're going to want to hear about it coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
We're going to talk about a high school where high fives are illegal. You're not allowed to high five each other. That is not okay. You can go to detention for high fiving. So we'll tell you about that story coming up. And we've got your Metallica tickets and your Xbox 360 and Metallica Guitar Hero. And we're going to do that with Orchestra de la Raza.
Oh, fantastic. It's been a while.
Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. So we'll get to all that. And we got Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up next.
Hooking you up with your tickets to see Metallica at the Honda Center, plus an Xbox 360 and a copy of Metallica Guitar Hero. That concert, by the way, right around the corner. I'm almost worried that we give them tickets now, they won't have time to plan, you know, for the evening. Because the show's, well, the show's December 10th. But that'll be your problem if you win the tickets, I guess. So your chance to win is on the way. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's happening? Come on.
Heard you guys talking about Fringe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great showbiz news this morning coming out about Fringe. J.J. Abrams, creator of that show, has signed Leonard Nimoy to join the cast of Fringe.
What?
How about that? The former Mr. Spock is going to play William Bell. Now, if you know the show at all, you know that William Bell was Walter Bishop's former lab partner who stole all his ideas and started a massive dynamic with them.
What was that?
So he's
the
most
brains
evil
behind the pattern.
The pattern.
Yes.
Awesome.
So Nimoy will play the arch-villain opposite...
That sounds great.
Bishop.
Bishop. Good casting.
Yeah, it's great casting. I think he'll be great in that role.
Fringe reminds me in some respects of Alias. I don't know if it does you guys as well.
Yeah, there's a vibe to that.
And it just makes so much sense to have Mr. Spock show up on that show, just like when they had Roger Moore, former James Bond, show up on Alias. It kind of is like the grandfather of the series a little bit.
That sounds great.
Because Leonard not only starred in Star Trek famously, but was also in Mission Impossible as well, which also has a certain espionage vibe to it. So he'll apparently appear at the end of this season, and then we'll be back in the fall for the rest of his story arc next
season.
Fantastic. So, good casting.
What was that?
Also good casting is the fact that Comedy Central has announced the next comedian they will be roasting over there will be Joan Rivers.
Oh.
Ooh.
You'd like a shot?
Ooh, can I volunteer, please, sir?
Ralph's got his hand up if anyone's watching.
Joan Rivers will be roasted. The event will be taped in Burbank on July the 26th and then broadcast in August. Joan said, "I'm thrilled to be doing this for Comedy Central. The last time I was roasted, I was half of a two-for-one special. Joan of Arc and me."
See,
because Joan of Arc was burned at the stake. So naturally...
God, I hate her.
How dare you? How dare you say that? Aren't you amazed? I mean, it's how stupid can somebody say that, son of a bitch?
I hope they literally roast her. I hope this is the very first one where they try that.
Here's the thing. People who deserve to get really roasted seem to get a pass from Comedy Central. It's like Larry the Cable Guy, if you watch that roast, it was lightweight. He obviously was able to handpick who he wanted there, so he had some of his country-ass friends. And
so you think they're not going to be mean to her?
No,
because
not nearly mean enough.
Oh, well, that's not possible.
I mean, if you want to roast Larry the Cable Guy, you bring in David Cross. That's who you bring on board.
Of course.
Let's get it on. So this Joan Rivers thing, it'll be a bunch of...
Old jokes is all it's going to be.
Yeah, old people and plastic surgery jokes. No one's going to address how not funny she is.
I find that despicable. I find that disgusting. Naughty, naughty, naughty.
I never thought I would say this, Ralph, but I have been impressed with her on Celebrity Apprentice to a certain extent.
You go right to hell. You go right directly to hell.
I'm with Ralph. Do not pass go.
She actually tries hard and, you know, and is a hard worker and has some abilities and seems nice enough on the show. Doesn't make her funny, but she doesn't seem like the evil shrew I was expecting her to be every minute that she was on my screen on that show.
What about her evil shrew daughter?
Oh, yeah. She's unbearable.
She's unbearable. More hateable on that show than Joan.
I agree. Absolutely. But you guys haven't softened just a tiny bit on Joan as a person since watching her on Apprentice?
I hope the goats of hell feast endlessly on your testicles for all time.
Wow.
That's what I wish for you.
So you're on the fence.
And I'm so tired on that show. The Philly Press keeps saying, like Trump says, why didn't you ask Joan? She's one of the greatest comedians of all time. She's one of the greatest writer-directors ever in show business. How come she wasn't? When did this idea come from?
Yeah, I know. They treated
her with great respect. What is this legend that she's the Orson Welles wrapped around Somerset Maugham? He was a big writer, Kevin. Yeah, if he had an English degree.
No, look that up.
Yeah. So anyway, they're going to be roasting her.
And
so,
by the way, Melissa, her daughter, always talks about what great shows they did, how she produces
great
shows.
What a great producer Melissa is. Yeah. She's produced for 15 years. She's been a big producer.
At some point, I just want somebody to say, by the way, just for the record, every one of those shows blew.
Yeah. And you know what you had to produce? 8 cameras on tripods pointed at a carpet. That's what you produced.
Right. And
I
no
could
editing.
Do that today.
Yeah. With no practice.
Right. And your mom thought Zach Braff was Jack Black. Your mom thought Lee Majors wrote Lonesome Dove. That's all you need to know about the shows you produced. My favorite one ever. And here's the writer of Lonesome Dove, Larry McMurtry.
Actually, I'm Lee Majors, Joan.
No, never have two men been less the same guy. Is Britney Spears heading for another breakdown? Please make it so. She was much more entertaining back then.
I think so, too.
In Touch magazine says she's cracking under the pressure of her circus tour and isn't able to handle simple tasks during her day, like feeding herself and getting to places on time.
Feeding herself?
Let alone...
She's never had a problem with that.
Taking care of her sons who are on tour with her. Apparently that's not going so well.
Leave Britney alone!
I can't. And after 34 million votes... Last night in American Idol, we said goodbye to Blindy.
Oh, yeah.
Scott McIntyre got the boot.
I thought he was going to win it all.
So did I.
Oh, wait, I don't watch.
It was the worst American Idol ever.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're off?
No.
Well, where did that come from?
I don't know. I don't know. When,
the worst
I don't know
ever?
I don't know how bad it has to get for me to stop.
Yes.
But I know it was the result show, which is always bogus because it's all padding.
It's all filler.
Because all they do is tell you one person's leaving, right?
Right.
So they can literally do the show in 2 seconds.
So what are they going to do for an hour? Last night they packed it with performances by Kelly Pickler, Flo Rida, and Frankie Valli. Oh, excuse me, Frankie Avalon.
Wow.
Yeah.
That blows.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And yet they still have your support.
Yes, they do.
Frankie Avalon came out at the start of the show and did a song from 1959.
Yeah.
That was on American Idol last night.
Game.
Kelly Pickler, had she been competing, would have been voted off. That's how bad she was last night. She was horrible.
Flo Rida was awesome, though.
I know.
It was awesome.
No,
that's a great song, too.
Well, it was when the original came out 20 years ago. Yeah, it was horrible. But I was sad to see Blindy go, but it was his time.
Did you guys know Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five a blind guy?
Yeah, because Blindy was, the dance moves were getting more intricate. During the big team show numbers.
Oh, no.
And Blindy was having a hard time. I felt bad. They were, like, grabbing him by the collar and pulling him around the stage. It made me feel bad.
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind.
That's right. But he'll be on tour, so he'll make some money. So that's all I care about.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl. Ring that mother effing bell. So hot. 23 years old today. Kristen Stewart from Twilight and Panic Room. She's 19 years old. Really? Kristen Stewart?
Yeah, I think so. I think she gets a tepid bell.
I love those goth light chicks. You know that.
But
Bean, I'm going to say again, the bell does not only represent you and your taste.
Yes, that's true.
I'm saying she's very pretty. Okay. She has millions of boy fans around the world who find her attractive as well.
The tepid bells, by the way.
Tepid bells.
Actress Elle Fanning, who of course is the sister of Dakota, is 11 years old today. Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance turns 32 years old. Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City is 43. Dennis Quaid, actor, is 55 years old today. And Playboy magazine founder and personal lord and savior of mine, Hugh Hefner, celebrates his 83rd birthday today.
He does rule.
You go, Hef. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The author of the book called Copy, Paste, and Bang, A Man's Guide to Meeting Women on the Internet and Having Sex with Them. He's direct in the title. He certainly lets you know what you're in for if you buy his book. It's not exactly subtle. His name is Beaver Phillips, which is unlikely that that's his real name. But we'll be talking to him next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, funny man Joe Rogan coming up, too.
You know how every once in a while something goes wrong at school, for example, and somebody, you know, the two kids that are fighting or whatever ruin it for everybody? In Connecticut, there is a school, a middle school, which is grades 6, 7, and 8, I believe, that has laid down the law. You are not allowed to touch other students. Can you high five? No, you can't. You know why? It involves touching. Here's the story.
No high fives. No touching at all.
11-year-old Stefan Pavriznik may only be in 6th grade, but he's old enough to question Milford school policy.
If you hug someone, it's considered horseplay, and this stuff is going to be met with severe action.
By the way, horseplay is a word that has not been used in the last 30 years, and I like to see it coming back.
Now, I'm dying to find out why, because I know a lot of schools have had trouble with too much public display of affection. You know, kids making out in the halls and stuff like that. Is that what's going on here?
Not exactly.
That's what he and fellow students at East Shore Middle School say they've been told. His father is not happy.
Now it's almost as if it's a sanitized school where nobody can, you know, you have to keep your distance from everybody. And that's not what school's about.
The district sent home a reminder about its no-touch policy this week after several students reportedly fought and one was badly kicked in the groin. The letter states physical contact is prohibited.
Are some teachers letting you do the high fives, though?
No.
Nope, they're not.
Aw.
Kicking each other in the balls.
Who can go to school if there's no high fives allowed? There's so little to make you happy. Come on, that's one of the things it does.
No touching. How odd is that? Let's talk to the East Shore Middle School Vice President, Joseph Delicat. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. How are you?
We are well. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good to hear.
You're the vice principal of this school in Milford, Connecticut that's making the news. And did the student have it right on the news piece we displayed, sir? There is no horseplay allowed?
There is absolutely no horseplay allowed whatsoever.
Yeah.
We frown on horseplay and any other sort of physical contact between our students.
Now, have you considered perhaps that if a student got kicked in the balls, went to the hospital, it was an isolated incident? Maybe you're overreacting.
But if there had been a no physical contact ban in place at that time, his testicles would still be unruptured.
But what about all the people who say that it's good for kids to be close and make friendships, hugs not drugs, all that sort of stuff?
First of all, children are disgusting.
What?
They should never be touched at any time. They're filthy creatures who wallow around in cesspools.
Wow. Seems like maybe you've been in the middle school.
Have you been in a middle school lately?
Well, no, but...
I defy you to walk down the hallway smelling the acrid aroma of hair grease and Clearasil and not vomit.
So you don't like them. You don't want them to touch. You think it makes the school run more efficiently?
Children should be wrapped in bubble wrap. And just force-fed information until we can dismiss them.
Wow.
Vice Principal, what about shenanigans? Are they allowed?
We frown deeply on shenanigans as well as tomfoolery.
Okay. How about roughhousing or capers?
We will stand for no capers whatsoever.
Wow.
Unless, of course, they're in the food at the lunch program.
Now, are you getting any complaints from, you know, other parents or people outside the community?
Yes. First of all, the parents are complaining.
Right.
To which I say it's their fault in the first place for allowing their children to expect some sort of physical affection. My parents never hugged me, and look how I turned out. I could not be happier.
It doesn't sound like it. Yeah.
I don't even touch myself.
Wow.
Because that's naughty.
You know, touching other people can be healthy.
Not if you visit the hookers I do.
Oh wow.
I've had to pay the price many times with several rashes and scabies.
Wow.
You know, if the parents, Vice Principal, had the no-touching policy at home, they wouldn't have all these damn kids.
That's true. Let's face it, children are a blight on society.
It doesn't sound like you're in the right profession. It doesn't sound like maybe you have the right mindset to be running a school full of little kids.
If it wasn't for the kids, our school would be perfect.
I guess. I don't think you'd employ very many people, though. It doesn't seem like you're coming up with the right answer.
I wish we could just teach adults.
Well, you can go to an adult education school if that's where you'd be more comfortable.
Yes, but adults scare me.
They scare you also.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm afraid they'd beat me up.
They probably would and should.
And that would involve physical contact.
Yeah. Shenanigans.
That would be horrible.
Right. Okay.
What about hijinks or buffoonery or nonsense?
Nonsense, completely not acceptable. Hijinks, never acceptable.
Wow.
And what was the other one?
Buffoonery.
Yeah, that's all right.
want to give a shout out to those listening at Bellflower High School this morning. Got an email about that last topic, about the stuff the kids aren't allowed to do in middle school. Listen to this. At our school at Bellflower, only one person can be in the bathroom at a time, even if the bathroom has five stalls. If there's more than one student in the bathroom at any one time and it's found out, both are suspended. This says, wow, thanks, Octomom. You've caused Bellflower High School staff to believe that everyone wants to do it in the bathroom. Thanks a lot, bitch.
Is that why they actually think people are going to have sex every single time two people are in a restroom?
According to this, but I mean, aren't the bathrooms in at Bellflower, they got to be same sex. So,
well, of course,
I mean,
yeah.
How much of a concern is that really? So, anyway, good times. There may be a future phone topic and stuff you can't do in school anymore, but it doesn't sound like fun. All right, 6:23 on the Kevin and Bean Show, the Kevin and Bean Afro Line up and running 24 hours a day for your entertainment and ours, 323-520-AFRO. What are people talking about today?
Well, people are trying to bring back words. I'd like to say, hopefully that one will not come back, if you don't mind. I'm not sure what this is about.
Has the Afro Line run its course? Is it possible?
No, are you kidding?
Maybe time to flip the switch.
It's just getting better. Now all we're getting is crazy people. And I love crazy people.
Where's Lisa? I want her back!
We miss her too, and she'll be back Monday morning, fresh off vacation.
We did a phone topic. We had people call in who do celebrity impressions. Most of them not well.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. This is TV's George the Guy. I'm very upset that nobody called in to impersonate me this morning.
Yeah.
He sounds so little like George Takei.
Yep.
Doesn't he? I thought he was doing Mr. Movie Phone.
That was odd. We had Adam West in, and I may not have asked my question as well as I had hoped.
But you peaked in 1968. Kevin, the interview killer.
Kevin, the interview killer.
I was thinking the exact same thing. As the words were coming out of your mouth, as you were making the great Adam West weep and leave in shame, I thought, Kevin the interview killer, he's done it again.
I did nothing of the sort.
This is my impression of being asking the question. So, what did you think about that movie?
Okay.
Holy crap, Ralph, you got another mission on me. You gotta go find that chick that's in the new Carl Jr. commercial when she's walking down the street eating the double Western bacon cheeseburger. Oh my gosh, she's so freaking fine when she's licking the ketchup sauce off her leg and stuff, and she's bending down and her cleavage is all in the camera face. Holy crap.
She's not hard to find. She co-hosts Top Chef. Check it out. It's Padma, former supermodel.
That's who that is?
In the Carl Jr. commercial. Yeah, she's one of the most beautiful women in the world. She's the one that used to be married to Salman Rushdie.
I like it when the girl's cleavage is in the camera's face. I like that.
You should be scared! You touched my chalala! My ding ding dong!
Wow, haven't heard a Gunther reference in a while.
Pretty strong.
If the baseball season ended today, Bean would still be gay.
Bean would be weeping that the Mariners wouldn't make the playoffs, too, by the way.
Which is awesome. They're already eliminated.
not officially, but
mathematically eliminated. Yesterday, we did some highlights of a BBC documentary called My Fake Baby. I may have found it funnier than everyone else.
I just listened to your dead baby story, Kevin. You said you could only cry or laugh. Well, I cried, you asshole. I cried in my Cheerios.
You don't want people to cry in their Cheerios.
You don't.
That's not good. The little kid called his grandma a numbnut. Come on. Yeah. That's got to be worth something.
Because she was mentally scarred for life from losing a child, Kevin. That's the part that made it not as funny as we might like.
Hey, Kevin, BBC's having a special, I heard, tomorrow about people's kids who are kidnapped and brutally murdered. Ha, ha, ha. That's funny, isn't it, you sick
A lot of good response from that.
Kevin's starting to show his true colors a little bit.
Hey, ignorance is bliss. The smart car's got six airbags and it's a rolling roll cage, dumbass.
Yeah, I would say maybe the smart car, not incredibly smart because it doesn't seem all that safe. But apparently, I found out yesterday through email, safest car that's ever been invented.
Apparently, it's a tank, apparently.
It is 1,000% indestructible.
Apparently, you could drive it off, you know, off the ledge of the Grand Canyon, go all the way to the bottom, and walk out of the crash.
You'd be fine. Feel just like you're on a couch, so comfortable and so secure.
Yeah, this is John from Glendora. I know you guys are huge American Idol fans, and you know it's kind of sad to see who got kicked off last night. That poor Scott guy. You know, at least I guess the good part about the whole situation is he didn't see it coming.
See, because that guy's blind. He didn't see it coming. All right, 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day. We'll take a quick break and come back. We've got your tickets for Metallica. We've got your Xbox 360. And we've got your Metallica Guitar Hero. You're going to have to earn it, though, by playing Orchestra de la Raza. And ooh, we will do that coming up next at 1-800-520-106. These guys sure do like riding horses, huh?
Man, sure, oh, man. Do. And that's what that song's about, too. Don't get any other ideas, because it's just about riding a pony. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock at 6:37 Thursday morning. I love Metallica, mm-hmm. Kevin, and I know you do, too.
Yes, I do.
But I'm this close to turning my back on them forever if they don't stop calling it Metallica. I really am this close to saying I'm just not going to listen to their songs anymore. I just can't do it.
I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, as they've been doing it for quite a while now.
But they do seem to love Metallica, that's for sure. But they are coming to town at the Honda Center on December the 10th. We've got tickets for that show. We've got a brand new Xbox 360 for you and a copy of the brand new Metallica Guitar Hero, which is not just Metallica songs. It also has about 20 other acts handpicked by the band that you can play along with. All of that up for grabs right now. And Kevin, what's the name of this game, please?
It would be El Orchestra de la Raza.
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Whoa! Okay.
Rock Dave, and roll.
Dave, Mike, La Orchestra, ready to go here today?
Yeah. Of course. All right, now here's what's going to happen. The guys are going to sing with their mouths the instrumental parts, the beginning. Are these all the very beginning of the song, guys?
No, not necessarily not the very beginning, but they are all instrumental, like you said.
Recognizable instrumental parts. They don't have lyrics, and the guys are going to be doing the guitars and the drums and whatnot with their mouths, and you have to identify which Metallica song it is.
Okay, sounds simple enough, and if you're right, you go into the drawing. Someone will win the immense prize package we have described. Let's take them in order, starting with line one. Mike is on the line from Rancho Cucamonga. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Most certainly, guys.
All right, tell us what Metallica song this is.
Here we go.
Okay.
That's enough. That's fine. What do you think, Mike?
Wow, wow, wow.
Is that
Enter
Sandman? Oh, my God!
It's not?
Not even a little bit.
That's far from Enter Sandman. That would be, of course, sad but true. That was pretty accurate.
I can hear that. That was actually pretty good, you guys.
God
almighty. Damn straight it was.
Johnny
Let's
and
try.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Johnny and Palmdale, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. Did you know that last one, Johnny?
Yeah, I actually did.
Okay.
All right, this one's a little tougher, but we're going to bring it. Here we go. 2, 3, 4. Bow! Wow! Bow! 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 Bow!
Okay. All right, guys, we get it. We get it. Thank you very much. Johnny, what song is that? It sure the hell is.
Master of Puppets. Nice.
Perhaps the greatest of all Metallica songs. In fact, the one they played along with Enter Sandman at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony this past
Saturday. I sure hope that people's alarm go off during that, because to me, this whole bit sounds like we're begging people to stop listening.
Johnny is in the drawing. Let's see how Raul does. He's in Hawthorne on line three. Hey, Raul, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Listen up. Here's La Orchestra de la Raza for you.
You ready, David? Slow down a little bit. Here we go. 2, 3, 4. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom
Raul?
Oh my god.
That's plenty for that one.
It's a great Bobby McFerrin song. Which one is it?
You know what? I'm going to have to take a guess and say one.
Yes!
Unbelievable.
Well, they don't have a lot of really slow songs, but very well done. Nice. If you were guessing, Raul, that was an excellent job. You are now in the drawing.
It's one of the only two slow ones.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All right. Well done, my friend. Well done. All right, so we got Johnny, we got Raul. I'm sorry. And we got Arturo in Covina on line four. Hey, Arturo. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what's going on?
El Orquestra de la Raza. You ready for your song?
I think so.
I'm
Here
ready.
We go.
Let's
I wasn't asking you, Mike. I was asking the caller, but go ahead.
Let's crank it back up again. Here we go. Two, three, four.
Oh, that's Peter Sandman.
Yes. If we can get them to stop, I think we should.
There you go. Nicely done.
Too easy. That's help too it. Easy. I got them all.
That was too easy. Oh, you got them all.
Congratulations. Right. I can't help but look around for Tom Likas whenever that music's there. All right. Shane is in Redlands on line five. Hey, Shane, how have you been doing playing along on hold on the phone so far?
Well, I got all but one.
Okay, not bad.
Okay. All right, see how you do.
One was the easiest one.
Here's the orchestra.
Oh, Dave. Here we go. Two, three, four.
Shane, you know?
Anywhere I may roam?
Say it again?
Wherever I may roam?
No, I'm so sorry.
Sorry, that was that was For Whom the Bell Tolls.
That one sounded pretty close, too, by the way. Maybe he just got his titles confused. All right, I have about the patience for one more. How about you guys?
Oh, I could do this all day. Darren and Ukaipa, good morning.
Good morning.
You ready for your song?
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Darren?
The
Hero of the Day?
Oh, my God!
That would be cyanide. Sounded just like it, too, by the way.
It did. That was very good, you guys. All right, just one more because I don't want to go out on a loser. I want to go out on somebody who, you know, takes us out on a high.
All right, let's go to Renee in Fontana. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, guys.
Here's your song.
All right, here we go. Two, three, four. Wow, 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 wow.
Renee?
Yes, Renee. What song is it?
God, dude, I have no clue, man.
Yeah.
You want to take a guess? Or you just want to give up like a quitter, like the little girl that you are?
I'll say Pizza Black.
Nope. That would be Wherever I May Roam.
Okay, so Renee, if that's what you thought it was, why did you say that?
I don't know, man. It just went out of me.
That's what I thought it was. So I picked something else.
That's up there with I knew that. All right, Renee, thanks for the call. So it's Johnny, it's Raul, and it's Arturo. All of them are in the drawing. Let's find out who wins the amazing Metallica prize package, including tickets to see them at the Honda Center.
Arturo.
Yeah.
Arturo. Congratulations, Arturo. You're going to see Metallica. Right. You got the Xbox 360 and Metallica Guitar Hero. Nicely done, and thanks for playing.
El Orquestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
You know, we retired that yesterday, Ralph. I don't know if you heard, but we got...
Did we? I didn't know you guys were the commissioners of the Hay League.
We are, first of all.
Well, you're not.
I thought we were.
Second of all, because I believe I originated the hay.
Right, but Kevin perfected it, and yesterday there was a hay that was so sublime.
Sorry,
and it was
I
so
thought you
perfect.
Said Kevin perfected
That's
something.
That's correct.
He did, because he took the skills that you taught him uh-huh. and built upon it and created the perfect hay.
Well, that's great.
And it was so beautiful, great. Though, that there's no need to now tarnish his memory.
He can retire. He can retire from hay if he liked. That's fine.
But it doesn't mean hey goes away.
You're going to look dumb if you try it after me, though.
No, I'm just saying.
You're just saying you're going to look dumb.
I'm just
you
saying.
You are getting the pool after Michael Phelps at this point, my friend. That's
you,
what
you know.
On.
Jordan can leave basketball, but it doesn't mean that the NBA folds. He just goes. He goes away.
Hmm.
And we'd like you to go away, Kevin.
You're
that's
a Clipper.
What we're saying.
You're a Clipper, is what I'm saying.
Hey, but I play loud. That's all that matters.
It was a hell of a hey. That's all I'm saying. It's the kind of hey that people are going to be telling their grandkids where they were the day they heard it. That's what I'm saying. So why not just go out on a high? That's the point right there.
All right.
Am
666?
I living in Horseville? Because all I hear is a lot of haysayers. Wordplay.
Wordplay. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, I have a little announcement to make. How would you like to see Depeche Mode on Jimmy Kimmel Live?
Well, I get Channel 7. That's easy.
How would you like to see them live on Jimmy Kimmel Live?
This is the
Depeche Mode fans.
Is this the event where they're playing Hollywood Boulevard that we gave away a couple of weeks back?
This is the event, Kevin, where they're playing Hollywood Boulevard.
Yes.
In front of the W Hotel residences there at Hollywood and Vine.
This looks awesome.
Thursday, April the 23rd. Now, I don't remember us giving away stuff for this before, but we are going to give away stuff for this. If you keep listening to K-Rock, we will give you details on how you can win tickets in the VIP section. Wrong! So you get to see Depeche Mode up close and personal.
Awesome.
Now, if you don't win, you can also attend by going to RSVP at 1iota.com. That's where you can get your tickets for Jimmy
Kimmel.
That
sounds
like
an email address.
It is. Okay. RSVP at 1iota.com. Contact them. First come, first serve. They'll be giving away the tickets for the Jimmy Kimmel Live show for that evening. And, of course, as I mentioned here at K-Rock, we will be giving away tickets for a special VIP section for you to see Depeche Mode playing live on Hollywood Boulevard on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
I think it's not an email. I'm being told it's not an email. It's just 1iota.com, the website. That's what I'm being told.
Ah.
And click on RSVP.
Yes.
Maybe.
I think that's...
Someone wrote here, RSVP at 1iota.com.
So yeah, here's the funny thing is that we
that would be
all of us have
then.
Information, but none of us know which one is correct. So try all of the above. Maybe.
Well, then
it.
Just go to 1iota.com.
Yes. I think that would work.
And then you can find out more information there, how to RSVP, I guess.
I believe. Yes, I think. Not sure.
If it was just go to 1iota.com, why would someone write RSVP at 1iota.com for me here? Why would they
bad.
Do that to me? Why would someone want to make me look
Alex,
well?
Alex, do you still work at K-Rock?
No, Alex, that's true, yes.
Alex says she wrote it as information. Go to the RSVP at 1iota.com, not at...
But when you use a little at
yes,
symbol in front of a website,
gotcha.
Usually that signifies
Alex can occasionally be bad.
I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. All right, speaking of bad things, Britney Spears and Kevin Federline are having sex.
Oh my God.
Yes!
Oh my God.
Yes!
Please no.
Star Magazine says
they're on the road together, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Says that Kevin and Britney were caught by his current girlfriend, Victoria Prince.
Good.
Doing it in bed.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
According to Star Magazine.
No! No!
They've been hooking up whenever and wherever the mood strikes.
Yes.
Not just in beds, but all over the place.
No, I'd be against that.
No. Rooms, hallways, no. You name it.
Awesome.
I only hope more children result.
It's like they're newlyweds all over again. An insider says Brit and Kevin can't keep their hands off each other. The flings have made them both a lot happier.
Not.
Victoria Prince caught Kevin and Brittany having sex on the sly. She caught him with his hand in the cookie jar, says one source.
It's a cookie jar now?
That's how big it is.
Wow.
You can keep cookies there.
Wow.
That's all I'm telling you.
Would not be good cookies.
And we're talking like we're like macaroons. We're not talking
oh,
Thin
no.
Mints here.
No,
we're
not
talking
at all.
Like double stuffed Oreos.
Like the Cantor's black and white cookies?
Yeah, like those.
This is the best news ever.
Like, you know those big cookie pizzas you get from Mrs. Fields? Like those chip cookies? It's like, congratulations on your new job. Those cookies, those are the cookies in the jar. That's what I'm telling
That's
you.
That's a big jar.
That's not a small jar.
Nope.com.
Just when I think reality TV show can't get any effing weaker, they keep upping the ante on me. I really at one point thought, all right, we're out.
Right, of course.
Because
the lamer the idea is, the less people will be interested and the less they'll watch, and people will stop. It'll stop going in that direction, I thought. And then I told you about More to Love, right? The Fat Bachelor?
Sure, yeah.
Fat Bachelor is what they really should call it.
The Bachelor.
The Fatchelor.
Yes.
See?
Kevin.
That's Kevin right there.
Nice.
What? We're just all shocked you came up with something.
F you.
You were just in the other room going, I need a pencil.
Yeah. Well,
looking through, like, your socks happened. And stuff. It was like watching Special Olympics.
I don't have socks in the other room. I have panties, just in case.
Anyway, so the new show that is blowing my mind is from ABC, and it's called Dating in the Dark.
Blind people.
No.
Dating in the Dark?
Yes.
Only black people?
Three single men, three single women will move into a house together. Okay? But the men will live on one side of the house, and the women will live on the other side of the house.
Okay.
They will live sequestered from each other.
So they'll never see each other?
No, they can't. They will go on dates, but they will only go on dates in a special pitch black room that exists between the two sides of the house. And they will have to date in total darkness so they can't see each other.
They can feel each other, though, right?
Yeah, what could go wrong with this?
I guess. They They will
awesome.
Have to get to know each other and form bonds in total darkness.
Wow. I am in on that.
Then they will have to select the person of the opposite sex that they want to see revealed in the light. And for the first time, the participants will see who they've been dating, wooing, kissing, snuggling, and forming bonds with in darkness. Will they stay with the person they fell for in the dark or leave them behind in the light? They ask us.
Hmm.
I have to be completely honest, Ralph. I will watch that.
I will too.
What is wrong with you? You understand the hook is that they go out in the dark.
Yes.
And this is television.
I'm in.
Right.
So they're going to show you a black screen and you'll hear people talking in the dark.
That is correct, yes.
Well, no, they'll probably put the fancy schmancy lights in that we can see them and they can't see each other. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I want to see that.
Why do you want to see that?
I don't know. Because it's not just bad, it's bad enough. That's why. It's way bad.
Oh, sweet heaven.
I'm in.
Sweet, sweet heaven.
That is awesome.
It is unbelievable that every single day there's another reality show that you just can't believe is going to air. Like the one that made all the news yesterday, Ralph, about the office that they go into and somebody gets fired.
Someone's got to go
is that show, right?
A real office?
Downsize people at a real business.
Companies. Yeah. And then everyone will get to vote on who gets fired from their job in this horrible economy.
Wow. Good for times. Real, too. Not as a TV bit, but for real, they will actually lose their job. Now, I would never watch that. That just sounds horrible. But the Blindy show sounds good.
They're not actually blind, Bean. You may have missed the point of the story.
No, they're blind in that it's pitch black dark. They can't see anything.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Playboy magazine founder and legend Hugh Hefner celebrates his 83rd birthday.
Okay, the best pickup line I've ever heard was, "Hello, my name's Hugh Hefner."
Yeah, I tried that. Doesn't work for me.
Doesn't?
Much.
Yeah,
no.
You're not, though.
Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance is 32 years old today. Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes turns 29. Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl is 23 years old today. Kristen Stewart from Twilight turns 19. Jesse McCartney is 22 years old today. And Elle Fanning. Actress in her own right and sister to Dakota. She's 11 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Look, we had Earthquake Talk scheduled for here, and I'm very eager to whip people into a needless frenzy over the fact that there's going to be a major earthquake any minute now here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
But let's put that on hold for a second because I'm outraged by what you're telling me is going on in the other office. Oh, come on.
Bell's been taken away from Kristen Stewart.
Today is Kristen Stewart's birthday. So Ralph brings her up on the showbiz beat, and mm-hmm. I do my civic duty, my assignment here on the Kevin and Bean Show is to, you know, be the keeper of the bell. I'm the guy who hits the bell for the hot chicks.
But don't hit it twice, because that's a much too strong of a vote for her. But you only hit it once, and that's been taken away by the other room.
And I thought that was very reasonable. I think she is a very, very pretty young woman.
Oh, now, I wouldn't go that far.
I think she's very pretty. Kristen Stewart is, of course, one of the stars of Twilight, and she does suck the personality out of the room. She's not exactly effervescent. I will grant anyone who's dogging on her because she doesn't have the best personality in the world, I get that.
But the bell, does the bell take personality into account, or does the bell only go with looks?
I think the bell goes for total packages.
Wrong.
I think the bell goes with people that are hot and also people that you'd want to be with.
No, because most of the people we give bells to, we have no idea what they're like. We've never talked to them. We've never interviewed them. We don't know what they're like socially. We never spent any time with them. So we're not really weighing in on their personality or how much time we'd like to spend with them.
No, but
it's
but
about
most celebrity,
hot. It's about heat.
I agree. It's mostly about heat, but most celebrities we do have enough working knowledge of to determine whether they're also fun people.
No, we don't. A few celebrities we have extra knowledge.
What about Tyra Banks, for example, who was a Victoria's Secret model, hot for a long time,
talked herself out of a bell.
Horrible personality.
Absolutely. Okay. Because she gave us so much information about herself, we were able to make a more educated decision. But if we didn't know anything about Tyra Banks, we would be giving her a bell based on her attraction or physical attractiveness.
Well, I think we're getting into some muddy waters here, because maybe a couple years ago, not since she turned into RuPaul, but let's not get off topic with Tyra. Kristen Stewart is a very pretty girl.
No, she's not. She's fine. She's fine.
She's okay.
She's mediocre. But we don't give bells for mediocrity.
Take very away from that. You might think she's pretty, but you can't think she's very pretty.
She's not.
By the way, we'll take your calls if you want to weigh in on now the debate that is going to turn into our civil war. It's going to split this country down the middle at 1-800-520-1067. Now, let me ask you this. Would you hit it, Ralph?
Yeah, but that's not what the bell is.
Yeah, it's not. Would you hit it is like, what time is it? I got nothing better to do, you know?
Is it closing time and I'm drunk?
She's way attractive enough to
nope,
hit, though.
Nope, not way. Take the way out.
I guarantee you've had hundreds of women less attractive than Kristen Stewart.
Of course I have. That's why it's a bad barometer of whether she's attractive or not. I've banged all kinds of creatures. All creatures great and small. It has no factor on whether she is bell-worthy or not, whether I would hit it or not.
So hit it is much too low of a standard.
Sure,
I hit
almost anything.
Yeah.
Almost anyone.
Yeah, I can see that.
Kevin, during the song, weren't you Googling some Kristen Stewart images and showing them around the office?
Yeah.
And you and Mike both agreed that she's bell-worthy.
And she looked, she looked cute enough. I mean, I don't think I would argue everybody, because it seems like it's overwhelmingly against her. But I think she's barely cute enough to get a bell, maybe.
You know, I think if you saw her on the street, you would look twice and think, hey, that's a pretty girl.
No. Have you seen the Adventureland? Have you seen her in Adventureland? With not a lot of makeup on, just a t-shirt sitting there on the counter of one of those carnival games. She looks like any basic sort of teen skank. You'd be like, well, yeah, okay, maybe I'd hit that. Maybe I wouldn't. You'd walk right by.
Let's go to the phones at 1-800-520-1067, because I do take my bell responsibilities very, very seriously.
First of all, you don't.
Well, I can't believe you still even have the bell.
That's the biggest problem.
Is it your focus on this is so splintered.
Yeah, you don't represent all of us, and yet.
But I would like to point out that the only times you mention it are when there's a conflict like this comes up, which is 0.01% of the times that I hit the bell. You guys are in agreement with me hitting the bell 99.9% of the time.
All right, go to
just very rare that something like this comes up.
Like Betty White?
Go to K-Rock.
Well, Betty White is mega hot.
Go to K-Rock.com. Kevin and Bean page. There's a picture up. Well, we probably have to just limit it to that picture, because everybody takes good pictures and bad pictures. But she
looks like Joe Rogan.
That's not what we're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're talking about Kristen Stewart. She's been in a bunch of movies, including Into the Wild, by the way. She was very pretty in Into the Wild. She was in the Jumper movie, Adventureland, the new one that's in theaters now. And, of course, she's best known for her work on Twilight.
She looks fine.
This picture, she's a mouth breather, though.
Yeah,
she's sort
totally
of
hot enough for a bell.
Sort of slow-eyed, mouth-breathing, sort of, needs a good haircut kind of broad.
Let's talk to Tiffany and Glendale,
by the way. I've said it my whole life.
You have said that. That's true. Yeah.
Hippies. I mean, period. Hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it until I die. Hippies.
You can smell the patchouli through the picture when you look at it.
Line 5 is Tiffany. We'll get started with her, and then we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Tiffany, what's going on here with Kristen Stewart?
She's not cute, and when they cast her, I couldn't figure out why at all, because in the books, I've read all the books, and she is described as someone who thinks she's not attractive, but like the instant she gets to town, everybody's hitting on her, and they all think she's like really cute.
Hollywood,
so it's like the pretty girl concept.
Hollywood, you know? Kind of likes to put those kind of girls in those roles, though. I mean, Spider-Man, what was her name?
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst. Same thing, kind of like supposed to be hot, but
horrible.
not Not really.
But, yeah, I get the sense this is one of those actresses, Kristen Stewart, is that Hollywood's trying to tell us that she's Bell-worthy, that she's hot, and we should all think she's attractive, but it's just, it's faux.
She looks, I think she looks pretty cute.
She's fine.
I'm looking at the picture that you guys have chosen for KROQ.com, and I don't think it's representative of her because it's the only picture I've ever seen of her as a blonde. I mean, I've seen her in a million things as a brunette. I think she looks better as a brunette than she does in this photo as a blonde.
Dave, find a better picture and put it up as well. Dave, unfortunately, is coming down on the nose side, so he picks the mouth-breathing picture. You know.
And I'm also going to say that Tiff, let's bear in mind, although I appreciate her call and her input, she is clearly a twitard who had a problem with the actress that was cast in the movie not looking like what she hoped for after reading the book, and that's fairly common, too. Right, and I don't think that's necessarily a fair representation.
Let's go to Brandon in Torrance. Good morning, Brandon.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. Kristen Stewart.
You know, I got to agree with Bean. I mean, you guys have had this conversation before, and I think that Kristen Stewart is dead behind the eyes, and she definitely sucks the personality out of the
she
room.
She is dead behind the eyes.
She's a wooden actress, too.
She is, and she's a black hole of personality.
She's definitely a black hole of personality, but, you know, Bean's right. You guys do trust his opinion most of the time, and I think that she is a cute girl. If you didn't know anything about her and you saw her walking down the street, I think you'd give her a bell.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But the bell isn't for cute girls walking down the street. That's not what the bell is for.
Okay,
well, we need a description of the bell, then.
Well, we all know what the bell is, but we've had the bell for years. The bell signifies a certain amount of heat, sexuality, attractiveness.
Has,
like, yeah, we love her.
It's the boner sound effect. That's what it is.
Yeah.
She has a certain amount of heat, though. You're not saying she's ugly or unattractive, Ralph. You're saying it sounds to me like she's average, and she doesn't deserve a bell because of that. I think she's better than average and bell-worthy.
Hmm.
Well, you know, I've been fighting for years to take the bell away from Bean.
Well, I know, and this particular one is questionable, though. This is not just Bean being bad, which most of them are. This is questionable at best.
I am going to stand by my performance as the bell. As the steward of the bell for years, I have done a good job, and I say that with all humility. I just
yes, you do.
Very, I do. I say with all. I say
how can you be more humble than that?
No,
I've done a great job.
What I'm saying is I believe it objectively that I have done a good job.
I believe that you believe that.
Based on the response that I get from you guys in the room who very rarely question the bell.
All right.
This one, all right, we got to take a break.
We need to take a break.
We got a lot of calls with a wide variety of opinions on Kristen Stewart here.
And we need to identify really what the bell is, and we'll get to all of that when we get back on K-Rock. So far, I believe the answer is, I think that's it so far.
We're taking it
really?
Back.
Because I think the answer is,
Thank
we're talking about the great debate over Kristen Stewart from Twilight. It's her birthday today. Ralph mentioned her in the celebrity birthdays, as he does, and I gave her the bell, and I've been taking nothing but heat ever since. Emails from ranging from Eric. Hey, being Kristen Stewart is a poor man's Allie Larder. On her very best day on Earth, maybe she gets a bell. On any other day, no way. All the way to David, who says, Bean, you're right, she's so hot. I'd pick her over Scarlett Johansson in a second.
Oh,
tell
see?
The rest of the crew they're gay, says
please.
David.
The minute the guy writes, I'd pick her over Scarlett Johansson, you can throw that email out. That's not allowed to be in the mix.
Correct.
Because he's obviously retarded.
I totally agree with you on that, by the way. All right, let's try Michael in Westminster on line one, because we don't have very much time here because we got Book Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got an author coming up next. Michael, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Kristen Stewart.
All right, I'm just going to tell you, I'd hit it.
Would you?
I'd hit it with a crowbar.
Oh, see?
So you're
saying no.
I think someone already did.
No.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
All right, let's try Dan in Anaheim. Dan is on line four. Let's see if he agrees. Hi, Dan. You're on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Have you seen Adventureland? It is a problem how gorgeous she is.
Okay, so he's one of these guys you can just write
just toss him out.
Write him off.
Why? Because he disagrees with you?
No,
with,
but no one's ever used gorgeous in a sentence with her name in it.
Yeah, I'm not talking makeup gorgeous. I'm saying like girl next door who doesn't know she's pretty gorgeous.
Girl next door who doesn't know she's pretty because she's not, maybe.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because no one's ever said it to her because she isn't.
I think Ralph's correct, though, in that if they're not at least in the world that we're talking about, maybe Belle, maybe not Belle.
We can't value their opinion.
It's a little too.
She's the hottest girl in the world.
Right.
Yeah. You don't know what to talk about that guy.
Let's try Justin in L.A. He's on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Justin, we're almost out of time. What do you say on Kristen Stewart?
You know what? I can't believe you guys are even having this discussion. She suffers from that medical condition known as ugly.
She's ugly.
She's not ugly. Look, you can say she's not bell-worthy because she's not particularly sexy, but really, is she ugly?
Yes, ugly. The bell should be Megan Fox's only.
Well, that's ridiculous. Well, that's setting the standard
extreme,
too high.
But yeah. I think I'm coming around to the side that ringing the bell for Kristen Stewart is too low. We're reaching too low for.
So is she on the line? Is that what you guys are saying? She's right at the point of not being bellworthy. Like she's the first person under the bellworthy line. You're saying, or do you think she's even worse than that?
No, I mean I think she's in the first 25. That are. I mean she's close, but
she's under. But she's under the. Under
she's
the bar.
Under. Yeah. I well. Think she's no bell.
So you've swayed Kevin now.
She wins the Nobel Peace Prize.
We gave away another Xbox 360, another Metallica Guitar Hero, and more tickets to see them at the Honda Center to Shailen Austin from Newport Beach. Congratulations, Shailen. Thank you for listening to Kevin Beach. Your chance to win is coming up. Ralph,
yes.
The morning you've been waiting for. We got Beaver on the phone.
I've been wanting to talk to Beaver for so long now.
Beaver Phillips is our author's name that we're about to talk to. He has written a book called Copy, Paste, and Bang, A Man's Guide to Meeting Women on the Internet and Having Sex with Them.
Huh, I wonder what the goal of the book is if I buy it. I wonder what it's so cryptic in the title. Hey, Beaver, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Glad to have you on. We're going to ask you to give away a little bit. I know you want to sell copies of your book, and I respect that, but we're going to need a little bit. We're going to need some information from you so that we know the book is worth buying, so that we know that it's legit. What have you found out in your intensive research on looking for women to have sex with, Beef?
Well, first of all, you know, I do a big comparison in Copy, Paste, and Bang to traditional dating versus internet dating.
Right.
And I've been doing the internet dating thing for the better part of 10 years. And really, I don't think there is a comparison. Because, you know, when we look at traditional dating, I reference the bar scene. And that's tough stuff. I mean, you walk in there, you see an attractive girl, you really don't know anything about her. I mean, for all you know, she's out with her girlfriends, ladies' night out, and
right.
They live in boyfriend's home watching the two kids.
Right. Okay, all right.
You know, and there's many other factors about the bar. It can get expensive, and then you got to worry about drinking and driving. So, again, I do that comparison in the book. And one thing that I found through using these internet dating websites is the amount of information I can get from her profile is the equivalent to about 3 or 4 real-life dates with her.
That's probably true. She is giving out a ton of stuff about her personal likes and dislikes and stuff that you can operate with from the get-go, right?
Yeah, there is a great deal of information on those internet dating website profiles. And, you know, you get to doing it for a while, you look through, you know what you're looking for. And, of course, I understand that not every guy out there is looking for what I'm looking for. You know, I think the majority of people are looking for that long-term relationship, the commitment. But me, no, not so much.
So this book is not for them? Copy, paste, and bang is not for people who are looking for a long-time relationship?
It doesn't say copy, paste, and wed, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm glad you brought that up because the principles and concepts in the book will work for that individual that is looking for the long-term relationship. Again,
okay.
I just wrote it based on my point of view.
This is what you do with the information, right?
I'm sorry?
It's just what you do with the information when you get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of sites are you on, Beaver, to look for women? I mean, are you a Craigslist personal ad guy, or are you on dating sites, or what are you using?
I'm glad you brought up Craigslist, because I was on there a couple weeks ago, and I bought a microwave. No, I didn't bang the microwave.
Mm. But, you could have. I have a book about it.
I got it for $20. It was a great deal.
Yeah.
But I endorse two internet dating websites in my book, and I do talk about some of the other ones. But a couple of them, I slam them. I, you know, tell my readers stay away.
So some are better than others if you're just looking to get laid. That's.
Yeah, I think so. And again, one of the. Do you want me to mention the names of them?
Which one? This is one of the best one.
Okay, the best one by far, is Match.com.
Match.com.
No okay. kidding.
What?
Really?
I thought that was like a serious dating website.
Well, it is, but the nice thing about Match, there are so many members on there. I think I wrote, if you get on Match.com and you can't find people in your area, you need to move.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I have a question for you, Beaver. Based on the name of your book, Copy, Paste, and Bang, why are you laughing?
Well, you just love saying Beaver over and over again,
Bean.
I would like
to point out that Beaver got his nickname, if I read correctly, when he was 4, so I don't think it's...
It's the kind of beaver we're talking
and
about.
And if it is, more power to him. He's the king.
All right. Here's my question for you. Copy, paste, and bang. When we first saw the title, we thought, oh, well, here's a guy who has written some things that somebody, some guy out there can buy the book, copy your words, use them to get a girl, which sounds, I don't know, it sounds a little shaky to me. Is that what the title means? Is that you're actually writing up things that somebody can literally just copy, paste, and send to a woman as if it's his own words?
No, I'm so glad you brought that up, because one of the things that I do advise the reader, and I put it all out there, I didn't pull any punches, I put in that book exactly what I
copy and paste to women.
Okay.
But I advise the reader, listen, you don't want to do exactly what I'm doing. Follow the principles and concepts. But, you know, if 50,000 guys in your city are sending out the same thing, it's kind of like being at a party and telling a joke to a group of people, but they've already heard the joke.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the title, I guess it kind of represents what I do. I copy and paste the same material to different women, and I bang them.
So I think you want to say is that you develop your own stuff, your own things that work in an email, and then you just copy and paste those from previous emails that you've written, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've got a standard first email that I send out and a standard second email. By the third email, my goal is to try and get her on the phone. I'm not really looking for a pen pal. I want to get her on the phone and talk to her.
All right. Now, my first reaction when I saw this book was most of the people in this field of telling guys that they can get laid, you know, whenever they want with this information are douchebags and are so full of themselves and it's not true. However, the thing that you said about going into a bar, it's much harder. That makes me feel a little better about you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for not thinking I'm a douchebag.
I haven't ruled yet on that, but I'm just saying most of the people in this field tend to, you read the book and you go, okay, you're so full of yourself, and blah, 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 blah.
It's like Mystery, that guy from The Game or whatever, who wears goggles and a top hat and says he can go have sex with anyone anywhere.
Right. Most of those people are so full of themselves, there's no way it's true, whatever. Right. But
you know, I've seen that show, and if you ask me, Halloween's once a year. and, you know, again, those guys are going back to the bar scene. It gets expensive, it's hard, it's difficult. My rejection through this internet dating stuff is she doesn't reply to my email. Big deal. I'm fine with that. You know, on to the next. I just move right along. But now I do have a chapter in there called Assess Yourself First. And on a scale of 1 to 10, I gave myself a 6, maybe slightly better than average. But for the most part, I'm just an average guy.
Now, you mentioned in your bio that you're 36 years old, single guy living in Florida, kind of average looks, average job. Tell us, if you can, Beaver, how you're doing with the ladies. I mean, is it a different woman every weekend or once a month, or how successful are you?
Boy, you know, I've been asked that in other interviews, you know, how many chicks have you banged? And the truth is, I don't know. I would say, on average, 1 to 2 a week for probably the past 10 years. So,
jeez. All of them new? Like, not repeats?
There's, you know, some repeat offenders. You know, it's not just hit it and quit it. I mean, some of them, you know, I become great friends with them. So, but for the most part, it's I like that thrill of the kill. It's pretty exciting being with a new person. And, again, I know that's not for everyone. That's not everyone's goal.
Because it's like some home business, too. The more time you put into it, probably the better the results are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talk a little bit about that. You know, it's kind of a numbers game. You got to get those emails out. And right now, for when I send out my emails, for every 10 that I send out, I get about 7 replies, which is pretty strong.
Now, you don't have standards, right? I mean, beasts welcome, right?
That's a great question, Kevin.
Well, I mean, a lot of guys, that's their mistake is
they're going, right. He's going, if you're going for quantity over quality, obviously you're going to be more successful, right?
Well, I've always said, yeah, you're right, but beauty's a light switch away. But because of the fact I've been doing it so long, and I'm not trying to sound arrogant, my funnel's pretty full, so I've been being a little bit more selective over the last few years than I was in the beginning.
Sure. Would we be surprised to find how many women there are on sites like Match.com and others who are not looking for relationships and are actually looking for the same kind of lifestyle that you're living?
You know, definitely there's more men looking for the lifestyle that I like to lead. But, yeah, there's a lot of women, too. And, you know, at the end of the day, what's really wrong with it? If a guy and a girl hook up and they have safe sex, you know, it's two consenting adults, I just don't see the problem with it. But you're right. There are quite a few women that maybe just got out of a long-term deal, and they're just looking to maybe, you know, date and have some fun.
Copy, Paste, and Bang is the name of the book. Is it available only through your website, or are you out in other retailers as well?
You can ask for it at local bookstores. It is available through my website as well. But I want to mention, guys, again, I know that not everybody's looking to just copy, paste, and bang.
Right.
The book is idiot-proof, and I pretty much hold the reader's hand throughout it. If you just follow the steps that are outlined, it's not like you're probably going to bang or maybe you're going to get laid. You're going to get laid, relayed, and parlayed. It's idiot-proof.
All right, I'm impressed. I don't know about you guys, but I think
Kevin Beaver
sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
We had a little debate before we got you on the phone. Kevin was sure that you were a douchebag, and I was trying to defend you that there was hope that you might be a good guy, and I think you're a good guy.
I believe I was wrong.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
The book's $33. It's a lot for a book.
That is a lot for
not
a book.
Not if it gets you laid one time, it's not.
That's true. It's a lot less than a bar.
Yeah, how much is a round of drinks at the average bar, you know?
Well, and that's what I've said in past interviews. For a paperback book, it is pricey, but it's a small price to pay for a lifetime of sex.
That's all right, Beaver. All right, Copy, Paste, and Bang, and that's the website, too, copypasteandbang.com. Author Beaver Phillips, thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Chunk Rock. We enjoyed it.
Thanks so much, thanks, guys.
Filet Fish Fridays are back at McDonald's. Drive into Flaky Fish, Tangy Tartar Sauce, and Melted Cheese for just $1.29 on Fridays. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Partly cloudy, patchy fog this morning, highs in the mid to lower 60s. I'm Nora Wells with K-Rock Traffic.
I want to hear Nora say, I'm loving it again.
Thank you. Thank you, Nora. 7:54.
I'm loving it.
Joe Rogan is in the next room. We'll talk to him just after the top.
Woo! I'm loving it.
What are you saying?
I love Nora. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I have tickets to give away, as I have been doing all week, to the Paley Fest 09. This is the Paley Center for Media, previously known as the Museum of Television and Radio. They do a series of evenings with your favorite TV shows, past and present. You get to meet the casts and creators of some of your favorite shows. It's going on for the next month or so down at the ArcLight Cinerama Dome. Tickets are still available for some of the evenings. Most of them are sold out, but you can go to paleycenter.org for more information to see which ones are available. I know this one's sold out. The Mentalist. How good's The Mentalist?
Oh, that's a great show.
I love that show.
That is really good.
Maybe my favorite new show of this past year. He's so good, that actor.
That guy.
Simon Baker.
Good guy, yeah.
He plays Patrick Jane on the show.
It's a very good show.
If you're a big fan of The Mentalist like I am, then you're going to want to spend an evening with the cast and the creators of The Mentalist on April the 17th. I've got a pair of tickets for a big Mentalist fan, so I'm going to ask you a trivia question right now. If you're the first person through with the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067, you'll win a pair of tickets. It's pretty simple if you're a fan of the show. Just name me Patrick Jane's arch nemesis on the show. Who's the bad guy on the show that Patrick Jane is always searching for? The one who responsible for the death of his wife and daughter? You know who I'm
talking about. Is it the penguin?
It is the penguin, yes. Yes. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now and win. Oh, Dennis Rodman. He's the best. I miss him from Celebrity Apprentice.
He is the best.
Apparently, he surprised a crowd in Hollywood over the weekend. There's a club called The Crest where he showed up, bought 5 bottles of vodka, and was walking around just pouring drinks for people randomly. Making new friends was The Worm.
How about that?
5 bottles of vodka, just pouring people drinks.
If there's anything we learned from his appearance on Celebrity Apprentice, he is in a full-time party mode. That's his life.
Dennis is not the guy you want to work with, but he is the guy you want to party with.
Correct.
That's what we've learned. Much like Kevin.
How dare you?
I'm just saying. You're a good time, man.
It's a compliment, Kevin.
That's right.
But you just said you don't want to work with me.
Oh, I forgot I said that part. Okay, never mind. A remake of a film. You know how I feel about remakes.
Love.
Uh-huh. But this one I may be on board with. Okay. Because the first one was kind of crappy. And I think that's what we should be remaking. Remake the crappy movies, not the great ones.
Like Ocean's 11 is a perfect example of a movie that needed to be remade. Great concept, terrible movie.
Right, exactly. Even though it was
Sinatra
terrific. And those guys, it was still a great idea for a movie that really wasn't executed all that
well. No, that was a remake.
You didn't?
No.
That was Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and all those guys.
Who knew?
The Rat Pack.
All right.
Originally made Ocean's 11. There was a movie years ago called Clash of the Titans, which was about the Greek gods who lived on Mount Olympus.
Mm-hmm.
Crappy movie.
Okay.
Kind of a cheesy, B-movie level movie. Great idea for a movie. They're remaking that. Daily Variety has announced the casting. Liam Neeson apparently will play Zeus.
Yeah. I'll watch him in anything.
King of the Gods. And Ralph Fiennes apparently will play Hades, Lord of the Underworld.
Oh, wow. Good casting.
So we'll get to see a Greek god movie, which we haven't seen in a long time.
It's been a while.
I think Laurence Olivier played Zeus in the last one.
Hmm.
And Harry Hamlin was Perseus.
Yep.
And I think
that sounds terrible.
Mechanical owl, I think, used to hang out with him, I think.
That sounds terrible.
It was bad. But it was a great idea. But it was bad.
Yeah.
But it was like Ray Harryhausen, all that stop-motion animation, like Medusa with a snake head and stuff.
Jason the Argonauts,
you know
and all
talking
those movies.
About, yeah.
Nope.
No, I did not ring a bell.
I don't even know what that is.
All right. Let's see if we have a winner for my trivia question, do we?
We do. We have Robin in Santa Clarita.
Robin?
Yes.
Robin.
Hello.
What is the name of Patrick Jane's arch nemesis on The Mentalist?
Red John.
Red John.
Yay! Nice.
Congratulations, you're the winner. Hold on.
Thank you.
We'll give you all the details. You're going on the 17th to see the cast and creators of The Mentalist.
Thank you.
You're going to enjoy yourself. All right.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Already.
I know.
We talked to her already, Robin.
Talked to that person.
Thank you.
Speaking of great television shows, Fringe is one of my favorite new shows as well over there on Fox. We have just found out that Leonard Nimoy will be joining the cast of Fringe. He will be playing William Bell. For those of you who follow the show, you know that William Bell used to work in the lab with Walter Bishop there at Harvard. They used to develop a lot of creepy things together, and he took all those ideas and turned them into Massive Dynamic, became a multimillionaire, founder of Massive Dynamic Corporation. So Leonard Nimoy will be joining the cast. I guess he and J.J. Abrams, creator of Fringe, became pals as they were working on the Star Trek
movie.
That's
great.
So, good casting.
I was a little bit surprised. I guess I shouldn't have been, but I never thought about the fact that Mr. Nimoy is 78 years old.
Dude, we all get older.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I guess he would have to be. His show was on 40 years ago. Of course, he's got to be getting up there, but it just surprised me to see how old he was. Yeah.
Still working.
Chat's in his 70s, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sure is.
And, you know, I like to give you a heads up on casting from time to time. If there's going to be a TV show and people want to be on television, I try to give them a heads up. This sounds very fun. Imagine, let me just give you the pitch here. Imagine the Wipeout show, right?
Yes.
With the obstacle course and all the wacky physical things you have to do?
Yes.
Imagine that, but you're in a car.
Awesome.
That's what Crash Course is.
Awesome.
Crash Course is a new reality show that puts you and a partner behind the wheel in the ultimate test of your driving skills in an attempt to win big money. You have to go through obstacles on the ride of your life, they say here, that you've never seen before. So if you're if you think you're a good driver and you can deal with the Crash Course...
That sounds great.
Send your name, your contact number, your email, your bio, and a picture of you and the person who would be your teammate. They're looking for teams of two for this show, to Crash Course Josh, J-O-S-H, crashcoursejosh@gmail.com. He's the guy doing casting for this new show. So check
it out. You don't use your own car, do you?
No, I believe they give you the car.
All right, good.
Wouldn't it be great if you did? You'd use your own car. Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't win. And your car is now totaled. Thanks for coming by. Crash Course, though. Crash Course Josh, by the way, sounds a little shaky.
That is shaky.
There's a guy looking for pictures of people behind the wheel. He's got some sort of fetish. He's got his pants around his ankles.
Like?
Yeah.
Hey, I'd like to crash in a wall.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Hef. Hugh Hefner.
Sure.
83 years old, still doing the do. Still getting it done.
He's a fan.
Who has ever been less of a homosexual than Hugh Hefner?
That's ridiculous.
Did you guys see the photo of him out at some club the other night with like six of his beautiful 20-something blonde girlfriends? And he's in a booth at a club, and he is sound asleep. And all of his girls are like partying around him. It was so funny.
To which I answer, so.
Yeah, the difference between you and me is that we would be sound asleep and be alone.
You could be 83 and sleeping in your tapioca pudding at the home.
Yeah.
Or you can be at the hottest nightclub in Hollywood surrounded by babes. Either way, you're going to be 83 and asleep. Either way.
That's true.
That's right.
So, he wins.
What's the better situation?
He wins.
Because you know what happens when you wake up? When you're Hef? You're surrounded by a dozen smoking hot blondes.
Yep, sure.
The rest of us, when we wake up, there's a grim reaper holding a sickle looking over our beds.
Swinging.
Yeah. Hi, how you doing? Time to go. That's what we wake up to.
Yeah, he wins.
Dennis Quaid's 55 years old today. Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City is 43. Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance turns 32. Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes is 29. Leighton Meester.
Yeah.
Leighton Meester.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, no question there with the bell.
Bell.
No debates.
Instantly.
Nobody had I wonder, let's take some phone calls.
That's correct.
Right. Let's get
not relevant at all,
let's
right?
Let's get out the Ouija board and some tea leaves. Let's try to figure things out. Boom.
Unrelated to the topic at hand, right?
That's correct.
Leighton Meester. Boom. Bell.
Bell.
That's what I'm saying. 23 years old today. Kristen Stewart from Twilight is 19 years old today.
Nope.
See? What? He didn't learn. He didn't learn his effing lesson. That's what I'm telling you.
Don't make us take that bell away.
Oh, hate that. And Jesse McCartney from Summerland and some songs that he sings, too. He's 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What's up? This is Joe Rogan. Rogan.
Brokeback Mountain is the funniest movie I've ever seen in my entire life. That doesn't make me a bad person. I'm sorry. You're wrong. They were outside. It was broad daylight. They hadn't seen each other in a long time. They grabbed each other. They went to kiss. And I just went, no, that can't happen.
What Ultimate Fighting is, it's the actual sport of fighting. It encompasses all aspects of fighting. Round game, kicking, punching, elbows, submissions.
We're about to watch the Two Girls, One Cup video.
I can't watch that.
Where are those girls? We have to find them.
Seth Petruzzelli is fighting Kimbo Slice. This is a last-minute replacement. I gotta think Seth Petruzzelli's gonna f*** him up. If I'm wrong, you'll never see this.
Oh, yeah. What'd I say?
UFC commentator and all-round personality, Joe Rogan.
Joe, how you doing, my friend?
Hi.
Ah, wait. Talk again.
Hi.
Oh, okay. The mic. I didn't think the mic was on.
Oh.
How are you, man?
What's up, brother?
Haven't seen you since Friday night.
I know. It's crazy. That was
fun. Here's the review from the Orange County Register about the April Foolishness show. Joe, of course, was one of the fantastic comedies who really brought it Friday night at the Gibson. We raised a ton of money for charity. Joe Rogan is a madman, is how it starts in the Orange County Register, which is probably why being a commentator for the Ultimate Fighting Championship is the best outlet for him. He's also very passionate about his comedy. He gets so animated as he launches into full-on tirades about how marijuana should be legalized, people shouldn't have wild animals like chimpanzees and tigers as pets, and how talking about kids with people who don't have kids is like talking to people who have never done mushrooms. He also admits, I like doing the Kevin and Bean show. It gives me an excuse to get high by 7 a.m. So there's our boy Joe right there.
Yes, otherwise I never get high this early.
Joe, you do have crazy eyes. When you're on stage, your eyes are bonkers.
Well, they reflect my soul.
Now, Omar's in the studio. Yes, Omar?
I'm sorry, Joe Rogan.
You don't have to apologize to me. Nothing. You just got drunk. It was fine.
Yeah, beyond drunk, though.
Dude, it's no big deal.
When Omar gets drunk, he gets in your personal space.
He was fine.
He came up to Joe Rogan, and Joe was, you were watching him like you were just having a good time watching a caged animal. Not an uncaged animal, actually. You were just watching him like, this is funny. I've been there.
Yeah. We've all been there. Yeah. You know, it's no big deal.
I tried to wrestle him away from you, but he has tarred strength when he's yeah. I mean, he really
did keep returning. They dragged him. Right? He kept hoping for a better closing. It's like a comic who doesn't want to get off stage.
Yeah, right.
And they're bombing. They're like, I got one more bit in me. Come on, man. I'm going to win these people over.
But then he finally came back, and his close was right in your face. He was like, I'm sorry, man. I'm just trying to be funny.
It was fine.
All right.
You really don't have to apologize.
Thanks, man. Right. Okay.
Now get out.
Thank you. All right.
No worries.
What was Omar trying to do backstage? What did he want Joe to say or do?
He was hammered. He was free.
What was his thing? There's no agenda.
Yeah, he was just trashed.
He
was really trashed, like not standing stable trashed, like wobbling back and forth.
Yeah, and crazy. He talking about crazy eyes. Yeah. He's got the crazy eyes when he's.
And gone. He would try to explain what he was thinking, and it wasn't coming out. It was just disastrous.
Listen to this. This is like 5 seconds of Omar from Friday night backstage at the Gibson.
Come on, you don't even want to film this, dude. Honestly, you don't
want to
film this, dude.
He was just
gone. Film this. Clearly we do.
We do. We want to film it for hours.
At least he was friendly, though. You know, some people get drunk and they get insulting.
Yeah, you
when
get
that,
insult
when
you.
That happens, I usually cut those people off because I don't really believe them anymore. I always feel like, well, that's how you really are. You really are kind of a dick.
You mean when they're not drunk, you kind of...
Yeah, I'm always like, what's going on in your head when you're not drunk?
And then there's the sad drunks.
Those are depressing.
They start crying every time.
It doesn't make me sad. Why does it make you sad? What the hell?
I don't know.
Stop drinking.
Obviously, people are hiding all kinds of different things, and when you drink, it comes out. But
we're all a mess.
Yeah.
We used to have a guy on our show, Joe, named Tad, who worked on our show for many, many years. And he was a very fun guy, likable guy, nice guy, until he started drinking. And he's exactly who Kevin's talking about. He gets a couple drinks, and he's like, I live at home, and I'm never going to get a woman.
No.
I can't get
brutal.
A job. And
it's just sad
yet funny. It was fascinating for me backstage at the Gibson. And I spent very little time backstage or on stage even on Friday night because I wanted to be out in the audience to see all the acts. Because everybody was great. But every time I went back there, the comics all seemed to be fans of each other. Like, you were very intently watching Patton Set, for instance, when he was on.
Yeah, and Sarah Silverman, too. You know, I'm a huge fan of comedy. And, you know, it's really rare that I get to perform with such really funny acts. You know, like, it's very rare that, like, Patton and Sarah are even on the same bill somewhere.
Right.
Especially at a place as big as that. But, you know, as a fan, like, it's really inspiring, you know, when you see, like, a great comic. Like, Patton, like, he had some killer bits. And I was thinking while he was doing these bits, like, he had bits about, like, stores. Like, what do they sell in these stores? I'm like, and they were really great bits. I'm like, God, there's a lot of things that I think of sometimes that are funny, but I'm like, that's not funny enough. Like,
right,
I can't.
Right.
But he just takes anything. Like, it literally can be anything, and he makes it genius.
Yeah.
It was inspiring.
He
really
seems
inspiring.
To be one of the favorites of comedians.
Yeah. Well, he's a great writer. You know, not just a great writer, but really unusual. Like, it's coming out of left field. You don't see it coming. Like, where he goes with things, you're like, you know, it's just great writing, you know? So, it was a treat for me. I was really excited to see those guys.
Well, I gotta tell you, thanks again for doing that.
Thanks for having me.
It was really a great night, and raised money for charity and the whole thing.
We all had a great time. It was an awesome crowd, too.
Not as much fun as Omar, but we had a good time.
That, and I wanted to ask you about that too, Joe. And you, we may have spoken of this Friday. The audience was so into every comic that came out. Nobody had to win over the crowd. It seems like they – I mean, is that rare in an audience? Or at this point, do you have so many of your own fans that they kind of are in the palm of your hand when you start the set?
There's some of your own fans, but when you get as many as 6,000 people in a place like that, to have everybody be so cool, really, and I'm not kissing your ass, is a testament to you guys. Because I've done other people's radio shows, and you do their comedy shows, rather, and they're just filled with douchebags.
Oh, really?
It's like everybody just wants to heckle, and they want to get their thing – they want to hope to be the next viral clip where they get the comic to get frustrated. They boo people off stage.
It seemed like everybody was really there to laugh.
Yeah,
they
it was great.
They wanted you to succeed so they could laugh. You know,
they wanted to have a good time. And even when the people were heckling, there were some people that were yelling things out. But it was all good-natured. It was all just happy heckle stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It was just it was a party.
I will tell you that there's never been a time that I can remember that more of our listeners came up to me and said, thank you for doing this because I needed something happy in my life right now because there's so many bad things going on, you know, with the economy and everything like that. People were really, really looking for a night out where they could just forget all about that stuff and just have a great time.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about comedy when the world is just really frustrating, you know, and it's just what I mean, it's a weird art form. I mean, you make people feel better, you know. It's not just entertaining. Like, it actually physically changes the way you feel.
Yeah, that is strange.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why it's the hardest one to do, or one of the hardest ones to do, because you need other people's response. Like, you could do music and you can do like Trent Reznor crazy noises, and you know, and you just say, this is my almost swore. This is my stuff. Either you like it or you don't.
Right.
You know? But with comedy, like, it can't be that. It has to. People
have
to like
it.
Yeah. Immediately.
Right, right.
They can't listen to the album 3 or 4 times and then get into it and smoke a joint and then get into it. No, it's got to be right away.
All right. Joe Rogan is here. We need to take a break. You're going to be at the Improv in Brea, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Tomorrow and Saturday. And UFC 97 is next weekend. So we'll talk about all that when we come back. Joe Rogan is in the studio at 27 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Some old school Beastie Boys, man.
How about that, huh? Tomorrow night and Saturday night at the Brea Improv in downtown Brea, Joe Rogan is going to be on stage, improv.com. Are you doing more stuff around town now that you got a newborn at home, Joe? Are you trying to cut down on the traveling around the country?
I definitely would like to, yeah. You know, I mean, it's always more fun to be at home.
How long is your normal set? You did 20 minutes on Friday night. Is that difficult to...
No, it's okay. You know, I mean, it's well, you know, there's so many comics on the set. You have to do that, you know.
Right.
But
we were warned about you, by the way. I don't know if you know
that.
That'll
go long.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
We were told, oh, Rogan, he'll go long. You better put him in a certain spot in the show because he will not watch the clock.
That's not true.
That's what we were told.
Some people just like to make things up. I've done it in the past, though, honestly. So it's not unwarranted.
Okay.
Some people like to make things up, but it's all true.
But it's true about the old me. I've moved past that.
But
I would never be rude, especially if there was people after me like that on that show.
How long will you do at the Brea?
At least an hour.
An
hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes, something like that. And then there's two really funny guys with me. There's Joey Diaz, who's one of the funniest human beings to ever exist, and Ari Shaffir, another very funny guy. Two good, very good friends of mine. They'll be with me. So,
well, we're going to have to start. We're going to need your counsel in the next year because there's no doubt we're going to want to do a second annual April Foolishness. So we may be looking for some comics that we can fall in love with over the next year.
Oh yeah,
like to book you again now.
I would love to. Okay. Let's do it. Lock it in.
Hey, what were you saying? Right at the tail end of the Beasties saw, you guys were talking about last night's South Park, which I have not seen yet. I love South Park. It's not a show I watch as often as I should, but it's amazing that it's been on for like 15 years. It's still awesome, right?
Yeah, we were saying it's a national treasure. I mean, it really is one of the funniest shows ever. And last night, it was they skewered Kanye West and Carlos Mencia. It was just ruthless. They beat Carlos Mencia to death with a baseball bat and knocked his head off. And before they did that, they had him groveling, saying, do you know what it's like? Dude, it was ruthless.
That's what they do best.
It's just a genius show. Like, you watch it, and after it's over, my friend called me up last night, and he said, dude, you have to watch this. He goes, go to South Park Studios right now. Watch it. Do not stop what you're doing. Go watch this. So I go, okay. I called him 22 minutes later. I just said, wow. And he said, wow. And we went back and forth. We did wow like 6 times. Wow. Wow.
Southparkstudios.com is the website. I think you can watch every episode.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And you watch it in full screen on your computer.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the best.
And it streams fast. It's great.
You know, they're doing high def now, too. South Park is in high def now.
Isn't that ridiculous? it's like defeats the whole purpose.
So are The Simpsons. Same thing. High def.
It's hilarious. It's
but it's at
just
least
wasted
The Simpsons
files.
Is, yeah. But isn't South Park still made with like construction paper and stuff? I mean, why do you need to put that in high def?
I think they do it. Do they do it in Flash? Like, how do they do it?
I don't know
what they do, but God, it's just so
Joe,
brilliant.
Have you ever been on the wrong end of one of those things? Has anyone ever skewered
bit
you or really
American
come to
Dad? American Dad made fun of me, but it was funny, you know.
Did they have a point?
They were like, yeah, I guess. Sure. Look, I'm the first person to say that, especially if you don't know me, I could easily be misconstrued as being a douchebag. You know, I mean, I look like a douchebag. Yeah, I mean, I try to be as nice as possible. As a human being, I try to be as positive and nice to people as is humanly possible. But, you know, I'm a cage fighting commentator. I hosted the UFC. I mean, I hosted Fear Factor. You know, I do stand-up comedy and a lot of clips. Like, if you listen to clips on the internet, you try to piece together, like, a picture of my personality.
You might
go, God,
angry.
This guy's a dick, you know? But it's just like, you know, these are, like, this is just a situation that was captured. You know, you have to, like, take it in context. It's not like I'm like that all day, every day.
But you wouldn't, if South Park did it, you'd probably love it. I mean.
Yeah, well, you know, I would hope they wouldn't kill me with a baseball bat like that. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, you watch something like that, like, that's me? Like, people hate me that much. That's so disturbing. You know? It was just so ruthless. And the Kanye West thing was just genius. They had Kanye West. He kept talking about how he's brilliant. Oh, he's a genius. The genius of the generation. I mean, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
I watched that show and I think my first thought every time is, I don't know how they get away with this. Because
oh, yeah.
I know that the stuff that we do that's nowhere near as sharp as what they do.
Yeah.
Nowhere near we get so many complaints. I can't imagine how they still get away with it.
Did you ever see the one where Paris Hilton's dog keeps shooting herself?
I mean, it's just insane. Did you see the one where Oprah Winfrey's vagina shot people?
No.
Had a gun.
No.
Her vagina had a gun. That's what I'm telling
How
you.
How about when they had the Paris Hilton whore off?
Yeah.
The
oh,
gay
yeah.
guy and Paris Hilton had a whore off. Oh, my God. It's just, it's one of those shows where it's like, how come more people aren't talking about this all the time?
Yeah, it's my favorite show of all time.
All time.
Yep.
All
I think we take it for granted because it's been on and has been great for so long that you just kind of accept that it's there and you don't realize. I mean, if it came on today, people would go, wow, that's an amazing new show, but we're all used to it now.
I agree. I think there's been like a resurgence in its popularity because of the internet.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that you get to download clips so easily now and the way they have it set up is amazing. You just, right after the show airs, you can go to South Park Studios and watch it. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah, you can pick from any season.
Yeah,
it's really it's an amazing site.
It's incredible.
That.
If you got an internet connection, you got entertainment. You know, bam, right there. That's the future. You know, they're like every television will be hooked up with an Ethernet cable, and then websites like that will become like their own television station.
South Park's television station. I like it.
And we're not that many years away from every show that's ever been made being available on demand at all time. Whatever you want, whatever movie or episode of any TV show you want to see, you're going to just be able to dial up and watch it live.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
incredible. Just a file, and that's what it is right now with music. I mean, Trent Reznor's got a really interesting approach now. He just releases his songs on the internet.
Yep.
You know, and he says, you got to think that if you record a song, automatically in this day and age, that song is available on the internet for free. So just accept that. And he goes, and then I just release it with goodwill and then hope that people come to see my concerts.
Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. That's true.
It's amazing.
Right. A lot of people still trying to fight that, but
yeah,
he doesn't seem to be.
Yeah.
Now, have
it's
you, before we take a break with our friend Joe Rogan again, Friday and Saturday night at the Bray Improv, and trust us, because we just saw Joe last week, you don't want to miss it. You definitely want to see this. Have you had any problems, Joe, with people who have cell phoned your act and put it up, and you felt like that somehow has cut into your sales of tickets?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, someone videotaped me at your thing and put it online. The only thing that I didn't like is he had his big website, his name of his website, splashed all over the bottom of the page.
Oh, really?
Like some pot website.
He took a cell phone video?
Yeah, it looked like either it was a really good cell phone or like someone's just digital camera that you can make a little film on.
Oh, I see.
And they put it up. But the only thing that bothered me was the fact that they put this big website. Like, it's like, am I working for you now? Am I advertising you? This is my act, and now
right.
I'm advertising your goofy website? I don't know what you got on there. You might have kiddie porn on there. Who the hell knows?
Yeah,
that's
right.
So that kind of bugged me. But other than that, you know, it's just, it is what it is, man. It's like, I always say, like, people say, oh, you know, I'm sorry, man. I downloaded your album. album Illegally Sorry. I'm like, did you like it? Good. Then come see me at a show. I don't care. I've downloaded a million things. I mean, it's not. My policy is if I download something, like if somebody, like, you know, I find a file somewhere and it's really interesting, if I like the music or whatever, I automatically buy it. I'll go to iTunes. Like last night, I listened to some Boxmaster, some Billy Bob Thornton, because he did some crazy radio interview.
Oh,
really,
is that something? With some guy. Got to talk about that. Yeah,
yeah, he was really douchey, but you know what? The music is badass. I went to somebody had a YouTube clip and I listened to it. It was just instrumental, all instrumental. But I was like, wow, this is really good. So I immediately went to iTunes and then just downloaded it. I always try to support as much as possible, but I love the fact that things are available for free. I think that there's something to that. You know, I don't think it works with music, with movies, you know, obviously, you know, but with music and with comedy, I think there's something to that. I think it should be free. People, when they're paying the live experience, I think the more people see you or listen to you on the internet, the more they're going to come see you live. And as a performer, that's really what the main thing is. The main thing is getting this stuff to the people.
Music, especially, used to be big record company, put out the album, that's how you make your money, and then you'll tour and do whatever occasionally. That's right. How it used to be. Now it's completely flipped.
There's a difference in comedy, though, and where comedy, like, you want to see it the first time. You know, comedy is funniest the first time.
Right.
It's like music. Absolutely. Like, you get used to it. Like, you know, you hear a song like over and over again, you really like it, and it gets better. Comedy doesn't really get better. You're like, God, you don't have any new material.
What if you're a musician but you suck live, or you are strictly a studio creation and the only way you have to make money is to sell your records? Those people should be able to make a living too, though, shouldn't they?
That's a very good point, and I honestly hadn't even considered that.
They
but that's
get better.
True.
But I mean, a lot of musicians agree with Joe, because this whole process weeds out bad musicians, and it helps to push the envelope with music.
It does, but what if someone is just their creations are only electronic, and the music is still really enjoyable when you download it and listen to it? But the only way it really comes together is inside of a
computer.
Can't
do it live.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to that. Yeah. That's a very good point. But you know what? Would it be really cool is if people considered that point and said, "Oh, okay, well, these guys, this is what they do. They don't really perform, so I'll buy their stuff on iTunes." If people were that cool,
yeah, that would
good luck with that.
One of the things that Trent Reznor said was they gave people the option to buy one of his CDs. I think it was like $5 or something,
right?
And he said he was really disappointed how few people paid for it. You know, when you give them the option, you can pay or not pay,
right?
You know,
right?
It's interesting. It's the whole thing. It's a very tricky thing, you know.
All right, we have to take a break. Our friend Joe Rogan is here. We didn't even get a chance to talk about UFC 97, which is coming up a week from Saturday. We'll do that and cover everything else with Joe right after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
Joe Rogan, everybody. Joe needs to smoke more pot.
Yeah, Ralph had a few Friday night, too, come to think of it. I don't know if you guys noticed or not.
That was awesome.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock. Joe Rogan is here Friday and Saturday night. That's this weekend at the Bray Improv. Go to improv.com. Only $25. I guarantee it's worth every penny of that. Joe, a week from Saturday, you're going to be traveling. You're heading to UFC 97 already.
Yeah, crazy, huh?
That's the one in Canada, right? 97.
Yeah. Montreal.
We talked to Chuck Liddell, this past week, and it's just, he's unbelievable, that guy. Fighting again. How old is he?
39.
39 years old.
Yeah, and that's 39 as a professional cage fighter.
Yeah.
You know, that's not like 39 as a mailman.
Right.
You know? Like,
and
well,
the early
back
days,
bothers me a little bit.
And
but,
the early
you know.
Days were much less regulated as well, right? I mean, hasn't
been
that
long. He did real old school Vale Tudo in Brazil with no rules. He fought in the bare knuckle, no rules fights in Brazil, where you were allowed to grab dudes' junk. You are allowed to do whatever you want. I don't think they allowed eye pokes. I think they tried to discourage that.
You're thinking
that.
Of the Three Stooges, Kevin.
But you were,
but
you
junk
were
was okay.
Bare, you were allowed to stomp, soccer kick. When guys are down, you stomp their head. I mean, that he did all that. He fought Pele. He was one of the greatest Muay Thai guys to ever come out of Brazil. He fought him in a no-rules fight in Brazil.
Do you think are there people who prefer that kind of action from a fighting standpoint, not from a fan standpoint? I know there are a lot of fans who wish it were that way, but do you think the fighters are glad that there's all these regulations now, or they wish it was a little more no holds barred?
Honestly, it depends on the style. Like a lot of jiu-jitsu guys, like Hoyce Gracie, always felt like there should be no rounds. He felt like it should be, once he gets a hold of you, he's like, I got you. Like, why should you get to survive to the bell and then we start up on the feet again, giving you an advantage? He felt like it should be you engage
like a
and
real
then
fight.
You finish it off. Well, that's what the early UFCs were, where there was no time limit. You engage, and then one person wins or one person loses, period. There's no decisions. It's like either you get tapped out or knocked out. That's it.
But the problem with that is, like, you're scheduling a pay-per-view. Like, Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah, and, it could go on forever.
And really skillful guys, that's all well and good when you get one guy. Like, Hoist was really skillful at jiu-jitsu fighting other guys who didn't know what they're doing. But if you get two guys, like, you know, George St. Pierre and Anderson Silva, and they go, like, that's, like, to the death. I mean, that really is.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to go past five rounds?
And 5 minutes a round, by the way. 5 minutes a round is a long round.
Oh, 25 minutes, a five-minute or a five-round MMA bout, that's got to be one of the most grueling and intense things you could ever do in a sport. That's an incredible amount of punishment that your body can, you know, potentially take.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I'm thinking about in other sports. I mean, you know, football is pretty physical, but no play goes longer than 30 seconds, you know, essentially.
The grueling aspect of it in football is not as bad, but the impact. When I watch football, sometimes I cringe. I mean, I host the UFC, and I watch, like, dudes get hit, and I go, Jesus!
Yeah.
You know, you watch, like clips on the internet where some dude is running like a wild animal, full clip, padded up. I mean, he's got horns. It's like a ram with horns, except he's got a plastic helmet and has to protect his head, and he's running full clip at you. His shoulders are protected. He feels confident. He's juiced to the gills, and he's running full clip, and he just hits you while you're trying to catch a ball. Ow!
Yeah.
Ow!
Yeah, you see tough guys get knocked on their asses every once in a while with that kind of hit.
And when guys get hit from the top and the bottom at the same time, and they go flipping and flying through the air,
ouch.
You're like, jeez, you just got hit by a car.
I would imagine most of these UFC guys probably favor the rules because it makes their career a little longer.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you would really get wrecked.
Well, you know, there's a lot of debate about certain rules, too. Like, in Japan, they allow knees on the ground, and they allow soccer kicks. You can kick a guy in the head, but they don't allow elbows because they feel like elbows cut. And there's, like, that's a big point of debate because, first of all, in Japan, they fight in a ring, and a lot of people think that the ring is the only reason why you should be allowed to have the soccer kicks and the knees, because you can get your head out of the way. You can move around. But in the cage, your head could be stuffed up against the cage, and someone could stomp on your head.
Yeah, that seems
bad. That's pretty hardcore. You know, I don't know if that's a good thing to allow. You know, it's an interesting debate. I think people would like to see the knees and the soccer kicks, but not with the cage, man. It's just something about being stuck. You know, again, that just doesn't seem very safe.
I may be a pussy, but it seems like it's rough enough for me. When I watch UFC, I go, that doesn't need to be rougher. I'll tell you that right now.
Look at these guys with their gloves, little pussies. What, you got a mouthpiece on?
Should Chuck Liddell still be fighting? He's a champ, but is he competitive enough against a guy like Shogun, or is he just in there
because
it's a paycheck?
No, he's definitely not in there because it's a paycheck. You know, the debate is whether or not the Rashad Evans knockout loss, you know, what that means. Look, anybody who gets punched like that is going to go unconscious. That's a fact. But you can't tell a guy when he's got to stop and when he's not going to stop. The people around him have to tell him, his close friends, his trainers. Unfortunately, most people, they never do. They just let the person figure it out themselves. They let them, you know, ride off into the sunset.
But if the athlete argues with them, the athlete makes the final decision too. And sometimes it's not the best decision. I don't think that's Chuck Liddell yet, but
I think you
hate to see that.
I do agree, but there's, like, have you ever seen Meldrick Taylor? Do you remember Meldrick Taylor? He was a world champion boxer from the 80s and 90s, and he won a gold medal in the 88 Olympics. Somebody might correct me. But anyway, he was an amazing, amazing boxer. You know, just incredible back in the day. But now, they did a special on boxers and brain damage and stuff on HBO, and they saw him now, and he's just a mess. I mean, it's horrible. And he was still being licensed in some states, you know, to box, and he could barely string together a sentence. You know,
fight Muhammad Ali is what you're saying. That's the match.
Or not.
You know, and there's a funny thing, the Muhammad Ali thing. Like, people don't want to admit that Muhammad Ali got that from boxing. So, that's Parkinson's. There's no evidence. Like, what are you talking about? Why don't you go watch those fights? You telling me there's not a direct cause and effect to, you know, George Foreman and Joe Frazier punching you in the head and you having head problems later in your life? That's nonsense. You know, you might not be able to draw a direct treasure map to it, but it's pretty obvious what happened to that guy.
Had to have had an effect.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. You know, it's just that's the thing about fighting. It's like, when do you tell a guy to stop? You know, you can't. He has to figure it out himself. And the glory of that lifestyle, the glory of victory is just so intoxicating. They can never abandon it. They always come back. They go, one more in them. And they see guys like Randy Couture is 45 years old. He's still competitive. And Bernard Hopkins, he's, you know, world champion. He's 43.
Yeah.
That's true.
Who knows?
Good point. UFC 97 Redemption, by the way, is going to be a week from Saturday, the 18th of April, available on pay-per-view. Kevin, you should buy that and then not record it so that you don't get to see it. You just get to pay for it and don't get to see it.
Last time I spent $55 to get the high-def version of it, and then my TiVo didn't record it.
That's happened to me before, too.
That sucks.
That's happened to me where it like records the preview. Like, what is this? This is just the yeah. preview screen?
It's the preview
hours?
That repeats every 30 seconds, and it just keeps going and going.
So
and
annoying.
I sure would have hoped to have seen the fight. That'd
Chuck Liddell is a real tough fight. This is going to show a lot because he's fighting Ninja, or excuse me, Shogun, mm-hmm. Ninja's brother. They both have crazy Japanese names. But Mauricio Shogun Hua is, when he was fighting in Japan, he was considered to be one of the most dangerous, if not the best, 205-pounder in the world. You know, he's had some problems like knee surgeries and stuff. He had two knee surgeries inside of a year and a half, and so he's had cardio problems and getting back into shape. But he's had a lot of time in between his last fight to really build up his conditioning. And it's for both these guys, it's like a do-or-die fight.
I'll tell you what I like about UFC is that it used to be in boxing that you would get to the top, and then you would just fight a bunch of chumps forever to try and keep the title, and it doesn't seem like they ever do that now. It seems like they really will take on the toughest people.
Well, they have to. The UFC doesn't give them any alternative. You know,
that's good.
I think it's good for fans. You know, I think some athletes, would argue it, you know, that they would like to have control over it. But, you know, when you see boxing, you see how, you know, they do manipulate that. It's because there's a bunch of different promoters, too. It's like, you know, Don King doesn't want to have his guy fight Bob Arum's guy. And with the UFC, it's like there's just the UFC. It's like, we've got great fights. Let's put them together. You know, and they, as long as you compensate the fighters correctly, they're willing to fight anybody, you know.
You can see Joe on your TV from Montreal on the 18th. You can see him live and in person on the stage of the Brea Improv Friday and Saturday night this weekend. Just $25. Go to improv.com. Joe, thanks for coming in, dude. Great to catch up with you.
Thanks for having me on. And you can follow me on Twitter. It's twitter.com. Joe Rogan, DOTNET. You got a .net, joerogan.net. Just spell it out.
Did you just say holla?
Holla. Mm.
Sure, times are bad, but it doesn't mean they have to look bad. Help keep California clean by not littering. Don't trash California. Partly cloudy this morning, highs in the mid to lower 60s. I'm Nora Wells with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Nora.
I am not going to litter because Nora told me not to.
Wow.
You do whatever she says.
That's the power she has.
Yeah.
She wields that
kind
of power.
Tomorrow morning on the Friday episode of Kevin and Bean in the Morning, how about Ralph with the Movie Bean? How about Ask a Car Salesman on tomorrow's show? Tell me you don't have a lot of questions for those guys.
Yeah, why do you want crooks?
And except for Bo Bachman, by the way, who's not only not a crook, he's not a communist, but he'll be coming in.
Dynasty.
And a guy named Adam Carolla is going to be joining us
Adam
tomorrow morning
Carolla.
On the Kevin and Bean. Carolla, I knew I heard it somewhere. He's going to be here tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean show, too. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday. What's going on?
Psycho Mike, you and I are in trouble. They're bringing in funny guys now.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. Now, Carolla's looking for a job. We're screwed. Because, you know, they're going to hire him, and then you and I are going to be out on some AM station.
We're going to do a weekly thing with him, but Mike's...
Hey, it's Psycho and Ralph. Hey, how about... Hey, let's take a look at the sports.
I think there's still room for you, but Mike's gone for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no question.
Oh, cool. Never mind.
Okay.
Let's talk about showbiz, but before I do, I still have some passes to give away to the Paley Festival 09. This, of course, as you know by now, is the television festival that happens every year, thanks to the people at the Paley Center for Media. And I've got tickets now for Desperate Housewives.
Woo!
Which, of course, is a huge, huge hit. Once again, they bounced back this year strong in the ratings, that's for sure. April 18th, you get to spend an evening with the cast and creators of Desperate Housewives, one of the bigger hits on television the past couple years. If you're a fan, here's a trivia question. First person to get through with the correct answer wins a pair of tickets for this evening with Desperate Housewives. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. All you have to tell me is, what is the famous street the housewives live on? That's all. Simple. If you watch the show, you'll know it. 1-800-520.
It's on TV. You can see that.
Yes, you can see it.
Television.
It's on TV. Right. You can see it on television.
We've established that, Rodney. Thank you.
We're talking about television.
Right.
Also, I wanted to mention that a lot of interest... I mentioned last hour about this TV show, Crash Course.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
People are going nuts. Phone's been ringing. I've been getting a ton of emails, so I wanted to repeat the information for people who missed it the first time. It is a game show called Crash Course. Think of it as sort of Wipeout with a car. So they send you through this dangerous obstacle course, and you will crash into things and be the thrill-seeking driver that you've always wanted to be on the 405, but without the insurance problems.
Now, do you know that are you racing people or are you racing the clock?
I'm not sure how it works, but it's probably the clock. That's what I'm guessing. It's you and a partner in a car, and you try to win big cash and prizes by doing this. The show, again, is called Crash Course, and here's how you enter if you want to be considered as a participant. You have to be 18 years of age or older.
with a valid driver's license and your name, your contact number, your email information, a short bio, and a picture of yourself and your teammate. We're looking for teams of two to crashcoursejosh@gmail.com. Crashcoursejosh@gmail.com.
Oddly enough, he's asking for pictures of people in their underwear.
Yeah, he wants new drivers, and I'm not quite sure what's going on. But
Ralph, we have a winner for your question, if you'd like to.
I'd love to.
Squeeze that in. Let's say good morning to Hector in Anaheim.
Hector!
Yes.
Are you a fan of Desperate Housewives, Hector?
No.
Well, then you're going to love spending the evening with the cast and creator of Desperate Housewives.
Is your wife and or girlfriend and or boyfriend a fan of it?
A wife, yes.
Wife, okay, good.
So you're doing this for your wife?
Yes.
You're a good guy, Hector. What's the name of the street that housewives live on?
It's Wisteria Lane.
Wisteria Lane, of course. Congratulations. Hold on, we'll give you all the details, but you and your wife are going to spend an evening with the cast and creators of Desperate Housewives.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Nicely done, Hector.
I'm guessing Hector won't be spending the evening with them. It'll be his wife and some girlfriend of hers. That's what I'm guessing. Because he'll be sitting there going, oh, really? how did the character of Bree get invented? Yeah, thanks. I'll be in the lobby smoking, honey. See ya. Are Kevin Federline and Britney Spears knocking it out?
Oh, please
yes.
say no.
That's the yes. question being asked.
What do you mean, please say no?
And answered by Star Magazine.
Kevin Federline is not good for Britney Spears, you guys.
Right, but all the men who have been with her, though, yeah. with Adnan Galib and Sam Lufty and everyone else, yeah. he is Prince Charming.
Well, what's going on? What are they saying?
They're saying that now that they're on tour together, he's watching the kids, she's doing the circus tour, they are just banging it out left and right.
Yeah.
That's nasty.
Star Magazine said they've been doing it all over the place. In beds and hallways, at venues and dressing rooms. Kevin and Britney can't keep their hands off each other, says an insider. They're like newlyweds all over again. The flings have made them both a lot happier.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
You know who wasn't happy was Victoria Prince, who is Kevin Federline's current girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
According to the story, she actually walked in and caught Britney and Kevin having sex.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's not good for you.
It isn't, but if your boyfriend is K-Fed... Really?
What do you expect?
Come
is
on.
What you're saying?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
It's probably true.
Which you deserve.
Baby, where's my cigarettes at?
If they're up your ass, you'd know.
Yep, they need to be together again.
That isn't good for you.
That's no way to talk to your significant other.
Kevin, where's the baby?
I don't know. I thought you had.
That's the kind of people you watch together.
Can we get them in some acting roles? Can we please just make them co-star in a feature film together?
I'm in.
Kevin, where's the baby?
The hell if I know, Brittany.
Magic. Today's celebrity birthday is Playboy founder, not just the start of a magazine, the start of an empire, the start of a movement. The man who invented the sexual revolution, Hugh Hefner, is 83 years old today.
Ralph's
there were no
hero.
Naked girls in the world before Hugh Hefner, by the way.
It sure doesn't seem that way.
Yeah.
If they were, they were ugly.
Hefner got the good-looking ones to take their clothes off for us all.
He did. That was quite an
effort. We have to thank him for that. Dennis Quaid's 55 years old today. Cynthia Nixon, Sex and the City star, is 43. Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance turns 32. Albert Hammond, Jr. of The Strokes, not to be confused with the one who wrote It Never Rains in Southern California.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
The Strokes is 29. Leighton Meester.
Oh, my God!
23 years old today. Singer, actor, songwriter Jesse McCartney is 22 years old today. Actress Kristen Stewart from Twilight is 19.
How?
That was
after that whole thing.
That was the tiniest possible bell I could give.
But
no,
that was not the
bell.
Answer. The answer was no bell.
She deserves a bell.
Oh. And Elle Fanning, an actress and sister to Dakota Fanning, is 11 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of great music, Coachella is, am I right about this, Kevin? Next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend?
A week from tomorrow.
Right. And Amy Winehouse, who, as you remember, was practically the headliner for the Saturday Night Show, is not going to be there. She is unable to become, she can't come into the United States because she's got some criminal proceedings back home in Britain. But that has not stopped her from traveling. She can still leave Britain. She just can't come here.
So it's time for Kevin and Bean Foreign Correspondents.
Spanning the globe, Kevin and Bean investigate stories from around the world. They are Kevin and Bean Foreign Correspondents.
We were getting so close to her when we were calling St. Lucia when she had moved down there for 4 years recently.
Did
seemed like it was 4 years. She was there for a number of months, and we were calling around hotels all over the islands trying to find Amy Winehouse. We were unable to. Then she up and went back home. Well, now, apparently, she's back in St. Lucia. Apparently, she missed it so much, she couldn't wait to get back to her island paradise, and that's why we're calling there again today.
It's a pretty small island. It doesn't seem like there's that many people.
Well, every person that we talked to previously had seen her on the island.
That's
so
true.
I mean, she has not exactly been laying low.
This is the Rendezvous. The Rendezvous Resort in St. Lucia.
Okay.
The story was that they had cut her off, so she was crawling around on her hands and knees trying to steal other people's drinks that they weren't finished with.
Hello?
Hi, is this the Rendezvous?
Yeah, sure. This is Rendezvous.
Hi, this is Kevin and Bean. We're calling from Southern California in the United States. How are you today?
Fine, thank you, sir. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Well, we're great, but we're looking for St. Lucia's most famous tourist, Amy Winehouse. Do you know where she's at this time around?
Miss Amy Winehouse, the last time I read of her, she was at the Sandals Grand. I'm not too sure where she is right now.
She was at the what Grand?
Sandals Grand.
Sandals Grand.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right, so how long ago was that, sir? Do you know?
You better?
How long ago was that? Do you know?
Maybe about 2 to 3 weeks ago.
2 to 3 weeks. So that was before she went back to London. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, maybe
okay.
She went back there.
Okay. She's a nut job, though, right? You'd agree with us on that?
Yes.
Exactly.
Thank
all right.
You,
thank you very much. Okay.
It sounded like he hung up, but in reality, in St. Lucia, they hang up when they agree with you. That's how it works.
That is a little-known telephone custom. All right. Do we happen to have the phone number for the Sandals? Can we try them again?
We don't have a complete listing.
Okay.
But this was also before she came back, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She probably isn't welcome back to any of the hotels she stayed in previously. She probably has to keep moving around the island from hotel to hotel until she gets kicked out of every single one of them.
The latest story was that she was running around nude, and that's not good for anyone.
No, nobody wants to see this. She can make you go blind if you look at her.
Welcome to Shasta Mountain.
Hi, Amy Winehouse, please.
You want to speak to Amy Winehouse?
Yes, please.
I'm sorry, Amy Winehouse is not in the house.
She's not staying at the Jade Mountain?
Let me connect you to Jade Reception, please.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. What was their slogan we learned last time? No pressure, no problem?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. They're all like a very cool place. People are very friendly when we call.
You have my hair?
Amy Winehouse, please.
I'm sorry, she is not in.
In or staying there?
No, she's not.
Not staying there or not in?
No.
Not in or not staying there? Is she staying there but out?
Or no, she's not.
Not staying there?
Not staying there.
Okay. All right. Okay. Do you know where she is?
No, I don't.
All right.
Unfortunately, I don't.
Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All right. Unfortunately, I think that's about all the time we have for today, but we have narrowed it down to two hotels on the tiny island that she is not at, so next time we try, we got a better chance of catching her, right?
Sure, that's our story.
I'm going to consider that success. Thursday afternoon, our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, busy day in the newsroom today. Maybe you saw the video that Harvey broke of a story that happened last night at LaGuardia Airport in New York. Harvey, what happened with Woody Harrelson, who's supposed to be a super mellow dude?
Well, this is his second attack on TMZ.
Yeah.
So last night at LaGuardia Airport, we're there and Woody lands and we go up to him and we just start asking him some questions as he's, you know, walking along, which we do with a lot of people. And, he goes crazy.
Here's some of the audio. I guess he grabbed your photographer's camera.
Grabs the camera, then pushes it into my cameraman's eye. And the camera goes black for a few seconds, then comes back on. And Woody then just lunges. And the camera goes black again, but you hear the audio on it. But the cameraman says, basically, Woody grabbed it, put it above his head, grabbed the camera, and then smashed it to the ground. And then picks up the camera, and then starts walking with it. I guess he wants the tape or something. So the cameraman, who is much bigger, by the way, than Woody, is walking along with him and saying, "You just assaulted me. You can't do that. Give me my camera back." And Woody is just walking and walking and walking. And finally, Woody turns around and just goes crazy on our guy, punching him, slugging him, grabbing his neck. I mean, it was really unbelievable.
Here's a little bit of the audio from that. This is him grabbing the photographer.
Woody, can you stop? Woody, this is assault.
Photographer's
voice.
Woody,
this is assault, Woody. Woody, this is assault.
Woody, this is assault, Woody. Woody, this is assault. Can you stop touching me? Woody, can you please stop touching me? Woody. Woody, can you stop touching me?
I don't think your cameraman was very clear.
Well, no, but can I tell you what I like about it?
Yes, please.
Well, as a lawyer by training, I like the fact that our cameraman can identify this specific crime.
That is good. That's a good talent to have.
Harvey, you know? I know it's tough, but let's try to put yourself in Woody Harrelson's shoes. Was he just not in the mood to be a public figure and just wanted to walk from the airport to a cab? I mean, you understand where he's coming from, that this is just annoying to these people 24/7?
Well, I mean, look, I understand the point. I really do. And you turn to him and you just say, guys, stop it. But, you know, a lot of times, see, the problem is a lot of these guys love ultimately being on television. I mean, we get so many people coming back to us saying, you know, that was really funny what you did. And, you know, it's hard to know. I mean, it is a public airport. He is a public figure. I get your point. But it seems to me there's a middle ground between, you know, hey, guys, stop it, and beating the crap out of somebody and breaking their equipment and then stealing it.
I got to tell you, if...
And by the way, the law is really clear on that.
It is.
You just can't do that. And I mean,
yeah.
And I think a lot of it depends, too, on whether you're respectful or not to the person, how you've done it, whether you're inciting them.
Yeah, I'm not excusing his behavior at all. Clearly, the assault and the destruction of his personal property, there's no room for that. You're right. There should be some middle ground in between the two extremes. You're right.
But let me just take devil's advocate for one second. If a cameraman were in my face like that all the time, I mean... I know it's the wrong thing to do. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often, that people don't lose it.
First of all, he wasn't in his face. I mean, you could see he's standing back. I mean, when you really watch the video, he's not in his face at all. He's standing back. But I do, listen, I understand what you're saying. And the weird thing is like, we don't get Woody Harrelson that much anyway. I mean,
that's true.
You know, it's like, it's not like he's on every day. I mean, the only thing I really remember of him is in 2006 when he choked out our cameraman and broke his camera.
There was that, sure. There was that unfortunate incident.
And what was the result of that? Did that ever go to court or anything, Harvey?
Well, all I can say is we signed a confidentiality agreement, but,
so yes,
for obvious reasons.
There was a settlement.
Okay. All right. So,
I speak lawyer. There was a settlement.
Is the police involved at all in this investigation of what happened?
Yeah. Our camera guy filed a police report with the Port Authority of New York, and they are investigating this, and they're reviewing the tapes, and, you know, we'll see what happens there. But this is one, I got to tell you, I don't get it.
Does Woody Harrelson not smoke weed anymore? Because it's hard to believe that anyone high could do that.
That's what we were saying. We thought it makes you mellow.
It's supposed to mellow you out. What's happening? Maybe he gave it up and should start smoking again.
That's what, I mean, but he, you know, one of the things we asked him about, whether he was wearing hemp pants, because he's talked about that he wears hemp pants, hemp clothing. So I don't know whether he gave it up or not, but it's a bad batch if he didn't.
Let me ask you one more thing on this. And again, we're talking to Harvey Levin, of course, the managing editor of TMZ.com, TMZ Television, weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. You have to give pretty specific instructions to all of your guys and gals that are out on the street with cameras. I mean, they pretty much know what the rules are, what the laws are, what they can do, what they can't do, right?
Absolutely. It's in their contracts.
Yeah. And this guy played it exactly legally and perfectly. I mean, you're very satisfied with the photographer's performance on this one.
Yeah. I mean, and as a matter of fact, look, if you watch it, look how passive our guy was. He never even fought back. I mean, he was getting attacked, and he probably could have, you know, legally, he could have fought back. But we tell them, you know, don't fight them. Don't, you know, if anything bad happens, and he didn't, and our guy is much bigger than Woody.
Yeah.
And he said, Woody, stop it, Woody, stop it. But he never, you know, you can see this, that he was just passive with him.
He didn't try for 5 minutes to get Woody's attention and was unable to. He just kept saying, Woody, stop touching me, stop doing that, stop touching me.
I don't know what else you do in a situation like that.
I mean, look,
you're right. Look, there are people who don't like being photographed, and it's always a tension between, you know, Hollywood and people, you know, and organizations like what we're doing. I mean, it just is, you know, one of those things, and it used to be for a long time that celebrities said, oh yeah, I want to be photographed, here are the circumstances, we want our publicists to control it,
right. We'll
get all of these television shows that are on, all of these news magazine shows, to basically lie and say certain things about us that we want you to say and not say other things, and everything's going to be exactly a lie the way we want it told. And all of a sudden, you know, we come along and it becomes, you know, for better or worse, real.
Well, once again, TMZ is part of the story. You got to check out this Woody Harrelson tape. It is on TMZ.com, and of course you'll see it on the TV show as well tonight. Harvey, thanks for joining us this afternoon, man. Always good to talk to you.
Good talking to you guys.
Thank you, man. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
Do it live. Do it live.
Thank you, Bill O'Reilly.
Do it live.
Noon. Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat. Can you top the story Harvey had a few minutes ago? How about that, huh, Ralph?
Wow, and you think, I thought smoking dope made you calm. Mellow.
Yeah.
You think, right?
Woody going off. I think maybe he's trying to wean himself off the weed.
Maybe he shouldn't.
He's a weed wiener.
Maybe he shouldn't wean.
Too much time sucking on oxygen at his oxygen bar. Remember when he had that? He opened an oxygen bar?
Oh, yeah.
People come in and you would sit down and order some flavored oxygen.
Yep.
You. Retarded idea ever.
I wonder why that didn't catch on.
Yeah, I wonder why. Speaking of Bill Reilly, did you see him last night talking about Eminem? The new Eminem video?
No.
The new Eminem video's got take shots at Sarah Palin.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly does not believe that's funny.
Really?
Oh, I wish I had it. I should have thought ahead. I thought maybe you had seen it, but we'll talk about it maybe tomorrow in the morning show.
I think you can see the video if you'd like to at krock.com,
yeah.
But not the Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly, I think, already is up on YouTube and several other sites.
Awesome.
But it's him talking about how it's disgusting. This guy, it's the lowest form of entertainment, this guy. And no one cares about him. No one over the age of 25 even knows who Eminem is. He's nothing. He's a zero and just keeps going on. He's not important. He's nothing. It's like, why are you doing 20 minutes on him then, Bill?
Then who cares what he thinks, right?
Nothing. This guy's nothing.
Wow.
It's disgusting. He's a scumbag. Disgusting.
It's pretty funny,
nothing.
Actually.
He means nothing. This video means nothing, and he means nothing.
It's kind of funny.
Nothing.
It does
disgusting.
Have that going for it.
Vile.
It's pretty funny, though.
Disgusting. Lowest. Disgusting.
Right, but it makes me laugh.
Vile. Crude. Disgusting.
A lot
Do
of
it live.
Guys like Bill, who I have great respect for and enjoy his program. I think he's a very smart guy, but he does position himself as being the arbiter of culture, and he believes he's fighting a war against material that he doesn't think is funny or appropriate.
Woody Allen.
Yes?
Harrelson.
Not at Woody Harrelson. Woody Allen.
Mm.
Is a legendary American director, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
he has always said, he's been offered to do commercial endorsements. He's always said, for $10 million, I will endorse any project, any product in the world. If you give me $10 million, I'll be in your commercial.
And how does he say that, Ralph? How does it sound when he says that?
I'll tell you what. You want me to do a commercial for douches? $10 million. I'd be happy to endorse any douche you have. Huge fan of douches all of a sudden, $10 million later. So he has always been, that's his standing offer, $10 million. So American Apparel put up some billboards all over Los Angeles and New York featuring images of Woody from one of his movies dressed as a rabbi.
Okay.
Without his authority or without his, you know, rights to his likeness.
That is okay.
Or
that's,
his permission.
Oh, seems yeah. bad. Okay.
So Woody Allen is suing them for $10 million. Because he's always said, that's my standing fee. If you're going to use me in advertising, that's, I've always said, that's what it's going to cost you. Now they're taking him to court saying, prove that you're worth $10 million.
Well, that's not how it works, is it?
Well, they're saying your popularity has faded and you've had all these scandals with Sun Yi and your divorce with Mia Farrow. You're not what you were in the 70s when you were talking about this $10 million price tag. You're not even worth $10 million anymore. No one would even pay you $10 million to be in a commercial.
But I think it's true. It's his choice how much he's willing to pay to do that work for, though. If he says he won't do it for $10 million, then you can't use Woody Allen in a commercial for less than $10 million. I think that's legitimate.
I know, but American Apparel lawyers
like
are
that.
Asking him to prove that he still commands a premium price for endorsement of a product.
That's a direction you could go as a defense lawyer, I guess.
We believe Woody Allen greatly overvalues the worth of his endorsement. If he could get one.
And not usually that snarky in court.
So we'll see what happens with Woody.
Is American Apparel forgetting that he got Scarlett Johansson to make out with a chick in his last movie? I mean, doesn't he get some points for that?
You would think.
Yeah, he is the man for that.
It would endorse Nazis for $10 million. I'm just saying, any commercial, I'd do it. Juliana Hough from Dancing with the Stars.
Oh,
yeah. Apparently, she is leaving her jazz shoes behind after this round of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, say it's not so.
She only did this one because she's dancing with her boyfriend, Chuck Wicks.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, sounds like a gay porn star.
It does.
Yeah, it's Mansana starring Chuck Wicks.
Was Mansana a series?
Oh, yeah, it was Mansana. I think Chuck Wicks was in Mansana 7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. After this season, she's going to give up dancing and go full-time with her country music career.
Is she a country music singer?
She is. She's got an album out, and she's got a series of videos that are spanklicious.
Why do all the hottest chicks go into country music?
Because if you're hot, but you can't really sing all that well, you're still guaranteed a spectacularly successful career in country music.
All right.
I was watching Kelly Pickler last night on American Idol,
yeah,
who cannot sing.
Yeah,
cannot
she's terrible.
Sing.
Oh, I thought she was considered a decent singer.
No, she was booted off fairly early on the season of American Idol she was on.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Because she's adorable, but cannot sing. Cannot sing. Cannot, by the way, sing.
Big star.
Top 10 country single out right now. Top 10 single.
Yeah.
Performed it last night live on American Idol.
How'd she look?
Great.
Yeah, she looked fantastic.
How'd she sound?
Below.
This Julianne Hough, I don't really care for her records either, but I guess she won a couple of awards at their big thing over the weekend, the American Country Awards or whatever they're called.
They're called the big thing.
I think they're called the awards.
You can't use that language.
I'm pretty sure that's what they call them.
It could be. But.
The FBAs.
Her big single.
Yes, her big single.
Is the worst song ever.
Which one? Julianne Hough?
Yeah.
Oh. So turn the radio up, right? Isn't that one?
I had that song in my head all day. Yeah. It is
It's unlistenable.
Yeah. But she's hot.
Huge hit.
Because she's hot.
That's because that's what country music does.
Mm.
If you're a hot chick, you can have a long career in country music.
All right.
Inexplicably. FBAs.
FBAs.
That's the awards. Today's celebrity birthdays, Playboy magazine founder Hugh Hefner's 83 years old today.
Your dad.
He is a good man.
He is.
And has the greatest house in the world.
He does.
I love his house.
Turns out.
I want to live in his house. Dennis Quaid's 55 years old today. Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City is 43. Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance. He celebrates his 32nd birthday today. Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes is 29. Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl is 23 years old today. Elle Fanning, the actress who is sisters with Dakota Fanning. I almost said daughter of Dakota Fanning.
Be something.
It would be. She's 11. Jesse McCartney, popular singer, actor, songwriter, is 22 years old. And actress Kristen Stewart from Twilight.
Yep.
Now, listen up. We've been doing this all day. We've been talking to you about this, Bean. She does not get a bell.
No bell. It was decided.
Nobel Peace Prize we gave her. And yet you continue to ring the bell.
I'm standing by what's right, not what's popular.
Well, here's, once again, the reason why you should have the bell taken
away. I'll tell you what's right is you not having a bell.
Because you don't you don't represent the bell's philosophy.
How dare you?
Any longer.
How dare you?
Well, it's true.
Well,
the ruling has been passed, and you continue to hit the bell for Kristen Stewart, despite the fact that it was ruled she does not get a bell.
We can shelve this discussion for a whole other year till her next birthday.
No need to shelve it. It's been settled.
No shelving. You lose.
I got to back them up here. A judge can't look at the jury and say, nope. You're right.
Set aside the verdict because you don't like it.
Right.
I withdraw the bell.
All right.
All right. I'm Ralph Garman.
Everyone happy now?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.